It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 15th day of August, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Yeah. And if you pop into the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky. Hi, y'all. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has determined not to fold space and become man cave. Let's see. Hi, I'm Robin. It's More in Monday. Oh, Jesus. It's so More in Monday. I mean, it couldn't get any more in Monday than what it is. But before we head off down that down that garden path, let's say thank you, because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means here we go. That means we say thanks to our 15th, 14th, and 13th day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means thank you to Robert. Thank you so much, Robert. And thank you as well to Nagla. Thank you, Nagla. Thank you to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you so much to David. On his way or already in Oregon by now, I trust, having decamped from San Diego. Thank you to Paul. Thank you, Paul, and thanks to Gary and Gaia. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who have, for so long, kept all of this going. It is no small feat, I hope you know. It's rather, well, frankly, it's rather amazing and inspiring. So thank you. Thank you. We're at the halfway point of the month, and the fundraising goal stands at $1,257. That's what last week was. So let's see, that would be, that's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and what, $57 worth of, because I wasn't here Wednesday, so that's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and $57 of a week ago Friday. So Friday was the 12th. So we're still trying to fund August the 5th. That's where things are. And they badly need funding. That's where that is. I want to extend a special thanks. So very kind, thanks. I talked about wanting to go and interview people and do some broadcasting from Netroots Nation. And a very, very kind individual reached out and took care of that. And send me a note if it's okay to name you. I don't want to make any mistakes here. But send me a note if it's okay to name you. We will be broadcasting from DeBerg, the quiescent and no, the warm and hopefully quiescent mid-August Berg, Thursday and Friday of this week. I'll be heading up early Thursday morning. We'll have regular programs today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then broadcasts and interviews and such on Thursday and Friday from Netroots Nation. And I'm looking forward to seeing who I can convince and cajole over to the microphone and talk about what they're doing right now. I always enjoy going to these, and this one's really special for me, frankly, because the first Netroots Nation I ever attended was in DeBerg, and that was every bit of 10 years ago, more than. Because, wow, what a trip that was. Guy James met me there. I went and picked a guy up at the airport out in Moon Township, and he covered some of the we both had little mixing boards, and we had separate streams, and he covered, we'd sit and decide which sessions we wanted to cover, and in many ways it doesn't get talked about, but we kind of invented the idea of streaming the proceedings of Netroots Nation. We were the first, and it happened in Pittsburgh. So it'll be nice to get back up there. I haven't been to the Berg in a very, very long time, although I feel like it was just yesterday. So I have a feeling we'll have some really good conversation there. And thank you so very much for making it possible. That of course is outside of that's outside of regular fundraising, and the stuff that you know keeps all the packets passing and the plates spinning on all the sticks. So if we could knock down some of that, it would certainly be fan-freaking-tastic. Let's see here. What's that? Lee in New York says could it get any more Moran? Stop it, Robin. You know better. The goddess of irony is always listening. Do not challenge her. Truth. Well advised. Yes. Well, look at that. Looky there. Yes, I will be. There's a question. Will you be at Radio Row? I certainly will be. So I need to answer that after the program. Now, for a Moran Monday like this, I'm not going to crank up the Calliope machine. All week long, the country has just been absolutely roiled, R-O-I-L-E-D, by the news that a traitor that we have known all along was a traitor is, in fact, a traitor. That a guy that we suspected all along was an agent of a foreign power is an agent of a foreign power. And we've watched over the course of the weekend as Nitwit Nero has melted and boiled and simmered and generally gone quite unhealthily to pieces. At this point in time, now former President Queeg.
I fooled him with the strawberries.
Former President Queeg gave an interview, the first one since the search warrant was served. There was no raid, we know that. Nothing of the sort. But now he says it was an FBI sneak attack.
It was a sneak attack. No, not a snack attack. That's what I get. No, this was a sneak attack.
Jesus. And of course, being the stochastic terrorist that he is, he couldn't help but point out the effects of the stochastic terrorist terrorist attack that he's launched.
The country is in a very dangerous position. There's tremendous anger like I've never seen before over all of the scams and this new one, years of scams and witch hunts, and now this.
Stoke the stroke, y'all. And the stoking does appear. It's the stroke stoking has risen to what I think we can only describe as restaurant quality. And we kind of knew it was going to be when Ricky Schiffer said what he said on Truth Social, you know, Nitwit Nero's unfailing social media platform. And, you know, they were. That's an interesting aspect of Truth Social.
You know, there's not going to be any censorship at Truth Social. It's going to be wide open, free speech for everybody.
And then it turned out to not exactly be, well, you know, that. Because lo and behold, Ricky Schiffer of Ohio, of the Buckeye State, sorry, posted to Truth Social what he was going to do, who he was going to shoot, called on other people to start shooting, and lo and behold, after he was retroactively aborted, sorry, couldn't resist, retroactively aborted in a cornfield in Ohio, suddenly Truth Social took down all of his calls for violent attacks upon the government. How about that? In the interview that he gave to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Nitwit Nero went on to say,
"People are so angry at what is taking place. Whatever we can do to help, because the temperature has to be brought down in the country. If it isn't, terrible things are going to happen. The people of this country are not going to stand for another scam."
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. Read the room. People aren't upset that, I mean, okay, the maggots are. But, you know, the maggots can be upset by just about anything. The maggots can be upset when they find out that they forgot to buy cereal at the grocery store. That can become a vast worldwide intergovernmental conspiracy. And at various news outlets over the course of the weekend, of course, we had, federal law enforcement sent out a bulletin pointing out that in the days and weeks-ish now since the FBI served the search warrant, that the temperature has gone up in the country. That the maggots are riled to a fever pitch. I mean, there's nobody on our side of the discussion who's having a full-on conniption about this, except to say, well, I mean, you know, there are some of us who say things like, "We've been saying this for a while. We'd like, could we get a cookie?" I mean, okay, you know, you don't have to like sign us up for a pricey consulting deal with one of, you know, MSNBC or CNN, but we've been right about a lot. And it always happened, you know, it happened this way with the Iraq War, too. And with Afghanistan. I mean, geez, I woke up to the stories of how, you know, this is the one-year anniversary of the United States leaving Afghanistan 20 years later than it should have in the first place, or 20 years after it never should have gone, we never should have gone in the first place. And I was, and through the miracle of memory, I was watching the footage again, and I remembered the warm, warm sun of the Gulf Coast, because I had gone down for the Trans Beach weekend. Sorry, I'll try not to say anything more about transness after that. But I was getting ready, and it was a beautiful day. The big, high, puffy clouds forming off of the Gulf Coast, and that just intense, warm, glorious sun, and was watching everything go to shit in Afghanistan. And you know, it was like, yeah, this isn't gonna end well either. Imperialism never does. But we were right about that. And we've been right about Nitwit Nero all along. Yeah, I'm gonna pull this little red wagon all the way around the block.
Tremendous anger like I've never seen before over all the scams in this new years of scams and witch hunts and now this.
This is because the walls are closing in.
I've never seen anything like this,
he continued.
It's a very dangerous time for our country. I'll do whatever I can to help the country.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but there are some things you could do, Nitwit Nero, but I don't think you've got the courage to do them. Well, of course he does. No.
Years of fake witch hunts and phony Russia schemes and scams. Nothing happens to those people who perpetuate that. Nothing happens with them. And then they break into a president's house, a sneak attack where it was totally, no one ever thought a thing like this would happen.
You're right. Darlene in Connecticut says this is the same BS he put Mueller and his team through during their almost two-year investigation. I'm so sick of hearing this MF-er go on and get away with the same tactics. It is not time to back down from his and his asshole sycophants bullying. Biden, the FBI, the DOJ are all going to have to do what's necessary to nip this threat of civil war in the bud. Biden can't operate in reverse as he's been doing on other issues. He must act more quickly. It seems to call for some level of decisive action, but frankly, Darlene, President Biden is not going to do anything directly related to the case over at DOJ, because remember, he's an institutionalist, and that means he's not going to violate the inherent separation between the presidency and the DOJ. It would just be super duper double plus awful wrong. And I'm not suggesting you think he does, but we don't want a Democratic president behaving like Nitwit Nero. But it is going to have, there's going to have to be some at least strong language. Sneak attack? What? Did Zeros come zooming in over the distant hills of the mountainous region of Florida and we're misinterpreted on the radar screen? Sneak attack? Really? Chumpin' Jehoshaphat. But, you know, that's who he is, and that's where we are. And apparently the threats are boiling out on social media and in the creepy, crawly little spider-infested places where the maggots gather and grow, and they are and the idiots are talking civil war because they think they have enough guns to wage one. Well, you can only shoot one at a time, Cletus, and they're really not much good against a hellfire missile. And look,
all of a sudden they want to defund the FBI. I mean, I'm not kidding. They're literally, we've got to defund the FBI. We've got to, it has been said by multiple maggots. So to review, maggots are okay with a cop murdering a black man by kneeling on his neck for 9.5 minutes and will bend themselves into pretzels trying to justify that action and talk about how we have to back the blue and the thin blue line. I wonder how all these maggots feel now who are driving around with their great big old gas-guzzling SUVs and a Punisher sticker on the back and that monochrome desecration of the American flag that's all done in black and gray with the exception of one blue line. Because a search warrant obtained completely in accordance with both federal law and the tenets of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, now that that was served, they're losing their shit. The flag is falling! Whatever shall we do? Mother McCree. One corpulent septuagenarian who was trying to steal top secret and SCI documents and had them squirreled away for, I don't know, later sale. Or maybe they just copied them and sent them off to Mohammed bin Bonesaw. One doesn't know. That's the line they can't cross, right? Yeah, that one. Oh, but by God, they wanted... They were right there with Nitwit Nero when he was... Couldn't we just shoot some of the BLMs and Antifas? I mean, couldn't we just shoot such, like, shoot them in the leg? Oh, come on, let's just go knock over a Coinstar. That one, yeah, that one they were okay with. Is Ricky Schiffer a martyr yet alongside... are they talking about putting him and Ashley Babbitt on Mount freaking Rushmore yet? Jesus! Now, Matt in San Francisco says, sneak attack. Yeah, when I was 5 and did a sneak attack on my older brother, I would send communication through the Department of Justice. Matt's ready for Monday. Thank you, Matt.
With a water pistol and water balloon, water grenades. They were water grenades.
Oh, God. Subject line, sneak attack. Lee says, if Erning Smills sees a golf cart come up from behind a hill, he fears the sneak attack. And Ron in Raleigh says, well, the last time we had a passel of traitors, we let them swear an oath they didn't mean it and return home to foment more traitorous activity. We should have strung up those bastards and perhaps we wouldn't have the problems we have now. Just saying, not saying. Well, you and I are kind of on the same page there. There were, I mean, at least the very top, you know, Jefferson Davis, what was his name? Alexander Stevens. Yeah, old Bobby Lee, Braxton Bragg, those sorts. Well, that's true. The Florida man. Oh, you and your articles, Stephen New York. Do you think he's smart enough to actually be scared this time? My inclination is maybe. However, I think that his lawyers are, this time, telling him he may actually be in trouble. Your thoughts? I'm pretty sure... Any lawyer who is advising him... Well, I mean... Any lawyer who is advising him is probably not very good. And by that, I mean, the good lawyers are all gone now because he stiffed them all. He's pretty much down to lawyers who run ads asking if you've been involved in an auto wreck. Or maybe that lawyer that has billboards all over the state of Alabama and has now expanded into Tennistan, Alexander Shunra. But they also understand that at this point in time, their law licenses may be a hazard. If he isn't scared... But that's actually, Steve, a deeper question than maybe... Does he have the mental capacity to be afraid? Well, you got to wonder. Ralph says, is Drumpf trying to blackmail the DOJ? It's not something any competent counsel would advise him to do. But you know, he's had 6-7 years of being able to use stochastic terrorism to keep the forces of law and order at bay. So I don't know if he's got that kind of savvy. Okay, there we go. As Steve says, the phrase you're looking for is any lawyer who doesn't need Velcro on their shoes. Yeah. And Nitwit Nero's lawyers are Alina Haba and Christina Bob, according to Ralph, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Not right up there in the legal pantheon with Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan, are they? Might be a good time to go and watch Inherit the Wind again. Darren Stevens was in it, you know. But you got to wonder what he thinks the terrible things are. I mean, because that's the poll quote.
Terrible things are going to happen.
And I guess in his cantaloupe-colored world, you know, him actually being held to account for the first time in his misbegotten existence. That being held to account part would certainly qualify as
terrible things, terrible things.
God, I've been pondering this now since it first occurred to me on air. What kind of awesome gathering could there be where a few thousand people would start chanting, lock him up, lock him up, lock him up? Wait, there's probably going to be some keynote addresses from some noteworthy liberal, progressive, democratic politicians this week in Pittsburgh. Just for the sake of clarity, hi Clarity. It would be maybe if there was a woman speaking, so that we wouldn't have any pronoun trouble. Maybe if there could be a spontaneous outbreak of a few thousand people chanting, "Lock him up, lock him up, lock him up." That would be nice. I would happily chant that, wouldn't you? I was right, Stephen New York reminds us. I'm not one to pat myself on the back, at least I hope not. However, I heard a Florida maggot say that if the feds seek to arrest him, that the state authorities should stand in the way and fight the feds off. I remember saying this on a front porch one time. I do too, and I think it was within the context of us talking about whether or not Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis would honor a writ of habeas corpus, or a writ of extradition, rather, a writ of extradition from another state, like, say, maybe Georgia or New York. And would they send would they send out the, I don't know, what color do they wear? The boys in, do they wear gray in Florida, the Florida law? I don't know. I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Irish Dave says, when the Phoebes carried out their sneak attack, were they armed with lethal fruit and shit? Armed with, you know, bananas and high-powered plantains. You know it. But when a story like this comes out, you get, you start getting backstory. This headline from NBC News. People were just throwing things into boxes in the final days of the maggot presidency. NBC News correspondent Carol Lee reports that the Trump White House staff was caught off guard and unprepared to move out of the White House, leading to a chaotic exit. We had a lot of planning, which in turn tells us that they apparently believed him when he told them that it was in the bag.
Oh, we're definitely going to win. Oh, we're going to win. We're going to win so bigly. It'll be the bigliest win we've ever won. There'll be so much winning.
Why does this feel like, you know, one of those final scenes in the that horrible World War II movie, The Battle of the Bulge, where the Germans have a you know, an old 55-gallon drum that they're just throwing papers into as they get ready to decamp from the general staff bunker. And the last thing they throw in. No, it's Patton, isn't it? No, that is, yeah, that's the movie Patton, because they're speaking German, and there's a picture of Patton, an 8x10 color glossy photograph with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and they toss it into the burn barrel, and one of the German officers says, it's the end of us, but it will be the end of him too, for he is a warrior. Now, at this point in time, Nitwit Nero's a worrier. A worrier. Boy, wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall? We gotta leave? Shit! To the Bat Cave! Come on, we have to have at least a little snark. Steve in New York says, lock him up. I did my part. I was chanting lock him up while walking past the Trump International Hotel next to Columbus Circle this past Sunday. Well, you know, if you do it, what is it? And when you get three people doing it, it's a movement? How would the NYPD respond to 3,000 standing in front of Trump Towers yelling, lock him up, lock him up, lock...
You see, that's how the radical left is. I've done nothing wrong. This is strawberries.
And, you know, there are some Republicans who are saying things like, yeah, you know, this might be a little bit over the top the way that people are talking. Maybe we need to not do this quite so much. But no, the loyalists are still loyal. And by loyalists, I mean people like, you know, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. And introduced his program today thusly.
Does anybody ever mention the FBI as being any real assistance whatsoever, except for marginal case? Remember, here's what they do. They do a marginal case right now. They say, hey, we're really doing something. No, they've turned into the American Gestapo. They have to be defunded. They say, oh, this is dangerous talk. No, it's not. It's just a political process. These institutions aren't permanent. They've, institutions should last as long as they are effective for the American people and the and our nation. Vox over the weekend had an interesting article. Vox had an interesting article that MAGA is a direct threat to the, wait for it, the American state. They didn't say the country. They didn't say America as a nation. They didn't say the American people. The American state. And they are.
Hey, Steve-O, when's the last time you referred to the United States as the Union? Not asking. Just asking.
Absolutely correct. You said this quiet part out loud. We are a threat to the American state. Joe Scarborough, to get to limit.
That's interesting. I mean, that's a bit of an admission. We, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. I mean, dude, you've got money coming out your ears. Razors are cheap. You don't have to come on the air in front of a camera. I look better and there's no camera right now. I could detransition and I would look better. I mean, that you're embarrassing. I mean, I'm talking about his appearance, so that's kind of catty and bitchy, and I understand. But really? What? You know, because, I mean, if you're like, you know, going to, I don't know, therapy, something like that, they, your therapist will take note as to whether or not you manage to, you know, pull yourself enough together to look like you know how to bathe or remember to or care to. And if you were Steve-O's, Steve-Arino's therapist, you'd go, nope, bathes and takes care of needs. Nope. But this idea that he says we, referring to himself and the other various and sundry troglodytic, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking denizens of the MAGA cesspit, we are a threat to the American state. I mean, this guy's supposed to be classically educated to at least a certain extent. What the hell does he think polis means in ancient Greek? Where's the word republic, Steve? Racist Bannon, where? And it's funny, the FBI were not the Gestapo back when they were investigating Hillary Clinton 2 weeks before the 2016 election. Oh, no, they weren't the Gestapo then. They were dedicated, hardworking American law enforcement personnel. Right? And the thing is, well, go back.
State. They didn't say the country. They didn't say America as a nation. They didn't say the American people. The American state. And they are absolutely correct. You said this quiet part out loud. We are a threat to the American state. Joe Scarborough, to get to limited government, your fantasy that you say, oh, yeah, I believe in limited government. Tell me how you're going to do that, brother.
Brother, what does limited government have to do with the fact that Nitwit Nero had squirreled away nuclear secrets at Mar-a-Lardass? That there is a technique known as obfuscation. Or is it obfuxation? Is it ofurfuckism? Never mind. Yes, that would be. Ron and Raleigh says, wait, wouldn't that be to the Fat Cave? That's two cowbells this evening, one for Ron and one for Matt. I do keep track sometimes. No, I remember that. Killer tomato soup in the can, Irish Dave says in an article. In a sworn deposition, Donald Trump expresses fear of being hit by killer fruit. Trump was testifying under oath in a civil lawsuit filed by five activists who alleged they were violently attacked by Trump's security guards outside his Manhattan Tower in September 2015. And Trump said he was afraid of killer fruit. Ron in Raleigh, as to racist Bannon, says, I've seen better groomed men on the Bumfight website. Doesn't this guy call for the dismantling of the administrative state? What do you have if that happens? Dictatorship? Well, yeah. And, well, a failed state, too, for that matter. On the Bumfight website. Well, let's just go ahead. Yeah. But these are all the bizarre. These are all the bizarre, bad bourbon fueled fantasies of a right wing come fully into flower. Again, as I've mentioned in the past, I was a child when I saw my first "Get us out of the UN" sticker on a car. Probably a busted and rusted pickup truck on some country road in Alabama. Get us out of the UN! And on the front there was a comedic a tag that showed the old Confederate soldier saying, "Forget hell!" That's probably true, Dave. But Robin, Steve Two Shirts blew it on wardrobe. Well, and I got to tell you, he's all in, he's all in black, and he's kind of got a whole road warrior vibe going today in the war room. I mean, for God's sakes, I am more manly than that guy, and I'm not trying. I'm not proud of it either, but, you know, girls got to, you know. Reality spoken here. I'm still working on it. And his hair's not much shorter than me. We see you, Steve. You're valid. Oh, and look. I mean, how could it be more in Monday if we didn't have a Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head sighting. But now, and I did, and I hope we can yet. Friday, I wanted to have a larger discussion about the Espionage Act. We didn't have time. I almost wish the Espionage Act was not part of the application process, because it provides a way out, or at least a talking point, for the likes of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head. So it was Saturday when he got on Twitter and said, "The Espionage Act was abused from the beginning to jail dissenters of World War One. It is long past time to repeal." And by the way, he spells it pastime, like in baseball, America's pastime. "It is long past time to repeal this egregious affront to the First Amendment." So you're saying what there, Rando? That Nitwit Nero has a First Amendment problem, that Nitwit Nero's First Amendment rights were violated because we didn't let him keep a bunch of nuclear secrets marked SCI and TS down there in the basement of Mar-a-Lardass with a... And you know they didn't go for the good, high-quality lock. "We put a new lock on. They told us to put a new lock on. We put a new lock on. Everything was good." You know those cheap bastards didn't go for a master lock. They went through something that you could probably, I don't know, drill with a cheap brace and bit. But now Randy wants to repeal the Espionage Act. And it was used to hateful effect. In USA Today, they note, going into effect after the start of World War I, the Espionage Act of 1917 illegalized obtaining information, taking photos, or copying details of all information relevant to national defense with the intent for that information to be used against the U.S. or for the interest of other countries. Many, and you got to remember the audience that USA Today is written for, many important parts of the Espionage Act are still in effect and can be used in a court of in the court of law. The article problems. In its modern iteration, the act has been used to prosecute spies and leakers of classified information. Right. They point out the investigation does not necessarily mean the former president is a spy. Not necessarily mean that. In Trump's particular case, the Espionage Act relates to gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. Yeah, it's the transmitting part. You know, like to maybe Mohammed bin Bonesaw for the low, low Kmart price of $2 billion payable to Jared Kushner. Wonder what Nitwit Nero's vig on that was, don't you? Yeah, Emilio says, yeah, Robin, the Constitution was not meant to last forever. These institutions change. One final solution might be to replace it all with the new Confederate States of America and its flag and maybe some swastikas. Your satire is hewing pretty close to the bone right now, Emilio. Oh, that's good. Okay, another cowbell. Coming off a three cowbell Friday, Scott in San Diego says, Request-o-matic, please put on your Casey Kasem hat and send out a long-distance dedication to Rudy Giuliani, midnight train to Georgia, because we got that in the stack, too. That's a dandy. Rudy has found out. He found out. Never mind. Rudy has found out that he is officially the target of a criminal election interference probe. Danny Hakim at the New York Times writing that he's a target in the investigation of election interference by the maggots in Georgia. Hence the, and it's time for a long distance dedication. This one goes out to Rudy, wherever he may be. Rudy, it's for you. Midnight train to Georgia. Leaving. Mm-hmm. No singing. We've got a $1,300 fundraising hole, and we're still at zero. 10 minutes to go in the filler lobster. But, yeah, he's, and kind of, how do you not, this Friday, Giuliani is supposed to testify before the grand jury, and apparently he has to drive down there. Yeah, you're going to love that ride, Rudo. I can't fly. So that's for you, Rudy Giuliani. I don't know why we can't come out of an up-tempo song like Midnight Train to Georgia into a death dedication. Get Don on the phone. Where are those pictures I was supposed to see? Thank you, Scott. Target has a specific meaning in this context. If Giuliani has in fact been told that he's a target of the Georgia investigation, he should expect to be indicted. Wow, America's mayor. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. What did Trump get from the Saudis? Lee asks. There may be 54 things, in Latin that would be L-I-V, hot, just like the golf tournament, that the Saudis requested. Trump will do anything for golf. The Saudis said, what? We're in those Bedminsters, and you keep those wonderful papers in Florida? Saw a meme, cartoon, whatever, this weekend of zombie Ivana rising up out of the dirt and saying, it's in here. Yeah. Yep, you're right, Ralphs. Lassie, help get the sheriff. I miss our reverb sometimes. Little good news coming out of Northern Illinois, courtesy of our buddy Andy the Angry Jew. Specifically, the same area that brought us killers that crossed state lines to kill in Wisconsin. Where it happened is a 30-minute drive from where I live in blue, Chicago. Can't help but feeling hearing your voice in Morning Joe when last week he was saying they're going to do it again several times. Oh, I know. It made... made me downright wistful for things like royalties. Yeah, 56-year-old man was fined $4,000 for anti-Semitic flyers in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Flyers that said things like, every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish. And on one side of the flyer is the six-pointed Star of David. On the other side of the right side of the flyer is the five-pointed pentagram or pentacle. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, Jewish. CDC Deputy Director Ann Schuchat, Jewish. CDC Chief of Staff Sherry Berger, Jewish. CDC Chief Medical Officer Mitchell Wolf, Jewish. And somehow out of this, these dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass, Nazis think that that's indication of a Jewish conspiracy and not the fact that there's a lot of Jewish people who go into medicine and law and various other professions. Yeah, the guy was flyering windshields and driveways and sidewalks around Kenosha. They charged him with 23. The cops charged him with 23 citations for violating a, wait for it, local littering ordinance. Well, you know, Capone didn't go to the joint for murder either. Littering in terms of that Kenosha. Ordinance to throw, place, or deposit any paper, glass, bottle, cans, containers, grass clippings, rubbish, waste, filth, or other debris upon private property without the consent of the owner or occupant, or upon the streets, alleys, highways, sidewalks, parks, or beaches, or into any pond, stream, river, or lake. The last portion being considered stream littering. Jesus, please just pay the fine, you little Nazi. Don't take this up on First Amendment grounds. This bunch will analyze it as a prior restraint. And the Nazi will win. And Kenosha police have been investigating anti-Semitic flyers since December 2021. Wait a minute. Kenosha. Why does that name stick in my mind? Oh, yeah. That's where that little right-wing POS went to murder a couple of people and maim a third. Uh-huh. Now, the question is, will maybe the DOJ get involved? I mean, it certainly seems to feel like a hate crime. Apparently, some of the flyers were spread by Goyim Defense League. That's led by some weirdo little proto-Nazi named John Minadeo II. Jesus. What about the Guidestones? Never mind. Stop that. So, like I said, we have a wealth of morons. And by the way, as far as moron nominees go, how about let's nominate the Escambia County, Florida Board of Education, shall we? Because in Escambia, and that's up on the Redneck Riviera, okay? That's that part of Florida that's sometimes referred to as Lower Alabama. At a school, the O.J. Sims Elementary School, they had a special ed teacher, a special ed teacher of long experience, some 15 years. And his special ed classes and the school generally, the majority population were African American children. And the teacher, Michael James, hung pictures of notable historic African American personages on his wall. And he wanted to motivate his students with inspirational leaders they could easily look up to and see themselves. Well, this was something up with which the maggot administration of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, who we will remember, only became governor of Florida with the actual help of real live, no kidding, Nazis and people who were willing to get in bed with them. Well, that was something up with which Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis would not put. And so some minion within the Escambia County Board of Education, without Mr. James's knowledge, went into his classroom and took down pictures of course, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Harriet Tubman, and informed Mr. James that those photographs, and that's what they were, photographs, were age inappropriate for his students. Well, bless Mr. Michael James's heart. He fired off a letter directed both to the Escambia County Board of Education and to white supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. in which he said, I quit. And made it abundantly clear why he did. Interviewed by the Pensacola News Journal, Mr. James said, it really floored me. I've been teaching special ed for 15 years, and it just really floored me when she did that. And so the kids at O.J. Sims Elementary School in Escambia County, Florida, are without their beloved special ed teacher. This comes as the state of Florida is experiencing a critical shortage of teachers. Because a lot of teachers don't want to work under a fascist dictator like Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. Now, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis has sought to, and I mean, this is going to end well, alleviate the teacher shortage, wait for it, by saying that any veteran can be certified to teach classes in public schools in Florida without any requirements whatsoever that they know anything at all about teaching a class or instructing children or maintaining any semblance of order in a classroom. And then, of course, there's also Don't Say Gay. Something tells me that ACT and SAT scores are going to be dropping significantly in the Sunshine State. I don't know how or who, says Matt in San Francisco. It's bad enough we had to live through the four effed up years of Trump's reign. I don't know if I have the bandwidth to get through how long it'll take to prosecute that walking tub of white cheddar cheese food product spread. I added the spread part. Because there's some spread. The increased violence, the constant gaslighting. Will we ever be free of this nonsense? I fear not, Matt says. Actually, I fear his replacement more than the original orange gas bag. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to live in America, where the ex-president's the color of Velveeta. I'm just making it up as I go along. Fundraising is so dead now. That's twice I've sung. I'm screwed. 1347 is the number, by the way. And I'm not kidding when I say, let's see. Pending bills right now are, about 1850. And it's just a quick cipher, but yeah. So there's that. Meanwhile, from the Department of trying to have your cake and eat it too, or the Department of, more accurately put, bet hedging. A former Homeland Security official, an advisor, who worked directly with Mike Pencilneck Geek. Well, they found Olivia Troy, no kin to Deanna. They found Olivia Troy, and somebody booked her on CNN yesterday to ask her how she felt about Nitwit Nero and, you know, the purloined the purloined secret and top secret and confidential and specially compartmentalized information documents that he carted off to Mar-a-Lardass.
Well, your guess is as good as mine, and I'm going to definitely leave it up to law enforcement and the investigation to come to that conclusion. But, you know, there are many things. I mean, there's small mementos I'm sure he kept because he thought they were cool or he could, you know, just show off to people. But at the end of the spectrum, that would be really bad is if he thought he could ever profit off of anything. And I'll stop there because I don't want to throw around those kinds of accusations. Look, Donald Trump is innocent until proven guilty, and we'll wait until the investigation concludes. But I do believe that Merrick Garland didn't do this lightly. I do believe that this was a buttoned-up investigation. The fact that he took such strong responsibility for it really made a lot for me, made me really feel a lot better just as a citizen. So I guess we'll just go from there.
And Olivia, let me ask you about this. A top Republican on the House Intelligence Committee has been very vocal in casting doubt on this FBI search. I want to get your reaction to this exchange that Congressman Mike Turner had this morning with CNN's Breonna Keeler, my colleague over there on State of the Union. Let's watch.
Do you take home documents marked special access?
No.
And yet you're casting doubt.
And, you know, quite frankly, you know, I've been
sorry,
in the Oval Office with the president. I'd be very surprised if he has actual documents that rise to the level of an immediate national security threat. These are two-year-old documents that are in the president's residence. We don't know what's in them. They're not ongoing, certainly now.
Yeah, Olivia, the congressman said himself he doesn't know what's in the documents. Nobody really knows what's in these documents. I mean, outside of the FBI, you know, and perhaps some of the Trump circle close to the former president. And yet you have people savaging the FBI, savaging the federal law enforcement community, accusing them of all sorts of things, planting documents and so on. I mean, it just boggles the mind.
Yeah, I watched that interview earlier when it aired today, and I have to tell you, I was disgusted with Congressman Turner, especially given the fact that he's the ranking Republican on the House Intel Committee, and the fact that he would show just complete disregard for intelligence and national security documents. It doesn't matter what's in the documents, Jim. What matters is these documents don't belong down in Mar-a-Lago, where there's a bunch of foreigners going in and out of the place and putting potentially national security information at risk. And so that's neither here nor there. And also, I found it preposterous that he would say, you know, that they're 2 years old. That says a lot about what his knowledge, I guess, must be on the intelligence community, because he should know better and understand that in many situations, intelligence operations take a decade, if not more than a decade, to kind of get into place, and sources and methods take a long time to develop. So I just found the entire interview insane. And these are the type of people that are fueling this kind of dangerous sort of narratives, dangerous rhetoric that's fueling violence, potential for political violence across the country, as we're seeing it, you know, directed at FBI offices today, and what we're seeing in the protests outside of the FBI again, today, and the event that happened earlier this week.
Right. And 2 years old, I mean, that puts you smack dab in the middle of Trump's final year in office. It's not like we're talking about the Magna Carta or the U.S. Constitution or something like that. And I have a question for both of you. I know, Olivia, you've spoken about finding misplaced classified documents during your time in the administration. And I'm wondering the same thing of you, Stephanie. I'll go with you first, Olivia. Was there just a carelessness about these kinds of documents that you witnessed?
There was, and at times I would see people carrying them around and not storing them properly or not carrying them properly. For example, in between the West Wing of the White House and the Eisenhower Executive Office building, where you'd see this carried openly. I will say that the proper way was the way that many in the Vice President's office handle it. People would come to me and say, you know, this needs to be stored. He's read it. Please take it back where it belongs. That's exactly the way. But you would see documents. I mean, I saw some in the Oval Office sitting on the desk that were just laying on top. You would think that they would be covered or something. I mean, not everyone has that level of clearance for certain things to access it all.
And Stephanie, what about you? Did you witness any of that sort of thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would actually speak. I would say you and I, Jim, both witnessed that. I mean, he was very, very messy with classified information just in a public setting. You know, I've used a few examples that I cite. One was when we were at the border down in Arizona, but the Mexico border, and he started talking about a lot of the technological advances we had made in our administration, and somebody had to step in and stop him and say, sir, you know, there would be a benefit for you to not say anymore. Also, when he made the announcement about the al-Baghdadi raid and his consequential killing, he also started to talk about a lot of things that were highly, highly classified and some tactical military issues that made a lot of people uncomfortable. So we saw him do that throughout our administration. And I think that is something that made it so that we didn't have really a culture of compliance. I think it made it easier for some people, not all, because a lot of people did take it very seriously. I want to be clear about that. But there were a lot of people who, as Olivia said, would, you know, look and say, well, he's not taking it seriously. I don't know if I should.
And Stephanie, there's a report about Trump's level of paranoia right now with all these investigations going on. A source close to Trump describing it to Rolling Stone this way: he has asked me and others, do you think our phones are tapped on at least a couple of occasions? Also, according to Rolling Stone, since May, the former president has wondered whether any visiting Republicans or Republicans visiting his clubs could be wearing a wire. What do you think about that? Did you witness that kind of paranoia?
Absolutely. I mean, and Jim, you were a big part of that all the time. But yes, he was always wondering, how did this reporter get this story? Who is leaking? A big example would be the anonymous book. You know, he was every day asking, who do we think it is? I mean, we would be in meetings about one other topic, and he would want to ask about the anonymous author. So he was like that in the White House. We were always looking for leakers. I was tasked with that personally many, many times. Find the leakers. As you well know, that was something that we as staff would use and weaponize against one another, to say if you didn't like somebody, you just go to him and say, I think this person leaks. But Donald Trump is a master at blaming others for his own bad behavior. So I think that that's just his way of thinking, right? If you do something bad, you're immediately going to just deflect it on everybody around you. And I think that's what he's doing right now. I don't think he leaked his own wrongdoings here, but he doesn't trust anyone because he knows he cannot be trusted.
Right. Well, that is very true. And Olivia, we talked to Jordan Klepper with The Daily Show about some of his, you know, interactions with Trump supporters. And, you know, I have to show this to you because, I know both of you.
You know, I have to point out, given the lag time, it'll probably be a couple more years before they start just stop saying Trump supporters and just start saying maggots like we did a couple of years ago.
I've been to the rallies, I've been at events where there are Trump supporters and very rabid Trump supporters, and some of the outlandish things that are said. Let's watch.
Who do you guys see as the current legitimate president?
I don't think we currently have one. If we do, maybe hopefully Trump's running behind the scenes, keeping the military on our side.
Biden doesn't know what he's doing.
He recently just killed the head of Al-Qaeda.
I don't believe it.
Do you think that's just a made-up news story?
Just like Bin Laden with Obama.
Clarify who's still alive. Bin
JFK
Laden?
Jr. is.
JFK Jr. still alive.
I mean, Olivia, I mean, it's funny, we laugh at it, but it does go to these disinformation silos that folks are in, and, you know, on the Trump side of things.
Yeah, and it's very extensive, and you know, it is. We are amused by it. But the thing is, there are real world consequences when it comes to it. And the fact that, you know, this is why we're seeing what's happening with people targeting law enforcement. I mean, these narratives get started, they grow legs, and the next thing you know, everyone's against them and they get concerned that everyone's coming after them. And so this is a cycle, and it's you know, and never ending when you have right wing pundits repeating it. And also when you have elected leaders repeating it. That's why it's so dangerous, because AR supporters follow and are listening to what they say.
And Stephanie, I suppose you have no doubt that if Donald Trump gets out there and announces he's running for president and holds these rallies, they're going to be just as big and boisterous and out of control as we saw the last 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, you know, sadly, and I don't mean to be dramatic, but I think it'll be a lot worse. You know, he's going to run. I think that his ego will be about, you know, not only am I going to run again, but I've gotten away with all of these things, and I will be the Republican nominee. And then if he gets elected, I want to implore people to think for themselves. As your guest Sam Donaldson earlier had said, try to think for yourself. Like, I was one of those people. I'm not sure I was to the extreme thinking JFK Jr. was still alive, but I was one of those people people who really believed in him. And I think it's okay to still believe in a lot of the policies that he was behind, that our administration implemented. But please just think for yourself.
See.
If he gets a second term, there will be no guardrails. Think about who will be his staff. Think about the cabinet. Think about what kind of national security implications there will be. It won't just be a revenge tour. That'll be the petty part of him that we're all used to. But he will have no guardrails. And I think that's something for our country to really think about when they're going into the voting booth, if he is in fact the nominee.
Okay, we had to get all the way through that because, I mean, the last part is really the most important. Because there's yet another maggot who says, oh, we did great things. They just need someone to do it without the revenge tour. Maybe Ron monkey up to Klantis. Right? And once again, further proof that it's not it ain't all about him. Because he was a buffoon. He still is a buffoon. But the policies, you know, ripping babies from the arms of their mothers and putting them in concentration camps. The various and sundry, you know, what's the line? The cruelty is the point? Yeah. Jeremy in Vermont says, every time these fucking Republican representatives say Trump is the president, it's heard by the crazy bunch in this country, and this crap gets worse and worse to the point you have dead stupid people attack their local government offices. We as a nation need to find a way to push representatives that keep pushing Trump as the president and not strongly say former, like most news media has been doing. JFK Jr. is definitely still alive. Another cowbell for Matt. If subject line classified documents, if they find ketchup on those documents, he's screwed. And subject line paranoia. Let's all send shipments of ball bearings and strawberries to Mara Lardass.
Why are they sending me these steel balls? Is it because my mind's like a steel trap?
But you know, I appreciate efforts of biting, you know, really sharp-toothed humor. Somebody put a sign up at the Trump National Golf Club in Sterling, Virginia.
Trump National Golf Course.
And somebody put up a sign, said, welcome FBI. Yes! 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 What a beautiful thing. And talking about Rudy Giuliani's road trip to Georgia. Kevin and Mass pointed out, hey, maybe Giuliani can meet Precious Lindsay halfway in North Carolina and they can drive to Georgia together. Eastbound and down. Eastbound and down, loaded up, we're fuck-ups. We're gonna lie like nobody's never done. That's three singings. I'm self-sabotaging at this point. And thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs said, I'll kick in $25 if somebody else will kick in $25. So that would be handy. That would be wonderful. That would get us down to below $1,300. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ralphs. And I mentioned earlier that a very kind individual had made Netroots Nation possible because, you know, hotels, gasoline, that kind of stuff. And that's our dear, 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 dear friend, Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so very much. I wanted to check with her before I named any names, but thank you, Kat. That's tremendously helpful. It could not have happened without you. So Netroots Nation coverage will be brought to you by Kat in Ohio. I hope there's some great conversations to be had. I'm going to start pulling together the road rig, get a couple of sets of headphones, et cetera, et cetera. Ready to go. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so very much. Jeremy in Vermont, is JFK Jr. hiding with Elvis, Biggie, and Tupac, along with Bigfoot, in a bunker somewhere that we've not been told about yet, or have we? Maybe it's the Greenbrier. Oh, my God, maybe it is. It'd be a hell of a show, wouldn't it, Elvis? And Biggie and Tupac? And yeah, the Big Bopper? Why not? You know, let's get Richie Valens, Buddy Holly. Let's get them all in there. Yeah, it was
all faked. It was all faked.
Yeah. Oh, and just to sort of leave the general madness and mayhem of what we've been dealing with, a little something that our buddy John in Central PA hipped me to. I mean, it still has to do with
the sneak attack.
Jesus Christ, the sneak attack. But as John pointed out, it's been a while since we've heard anything from this guy. And that's true. But Lord, he doesn't disappoint. You remember Rick Wiles of True News? I mean, he's a Nazi and a Christian. And years and years ago, he delivered a diatribe all about how his golden retriever, Gator, had a barking fit during the Halloween season, going wild, barking at an inflatable spider. Wasn't it a spider on a lawn? And talked about how demonic Halloween was. Yeah, yeah, sure. The search warrant at Mar-a-Lardass did not escape the notice of Rick Wiles of True News, who apparently is desperate for some attention because he put out his original tweet and then added a bunch of right-wing weirdos, including Elon Musk, for God's sakes. But, you know, the usual suspects, the Washington Times, the D.C. Examiner, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, Jesse Waters, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity. Green Glenwald is there, and Cernovich, and that genius of the interwebs, Jack Posobiec. And what he wants to get on the show, on all those shows, to say, I mean, really, honest to Pete. Rick Wiles tweeted, get the hockey puck and the duct tape, please. Rick Wiles tweeted, how many FBI agents sniffed Melania Trump's panties when they raided her private bedroom and rummaged through her closet? I didn't know she had any to sniff. I thought she was selling them on OnlyFans. Ooh, I've been waiting for that one. Really, Rick? That's just so. Who thinks like that? How many FBI agents sniffed it? Hey, guys, we found Melanoma's panty drawer. Get away! Get away! That's a toxic waste dump. It's on the map. When they raided her private bedroom and rummaged through her closet. Come on, guys, let's go rummaging. Oh, for pity's sakes. It's just... And remember, he's a Baptist minister. Wouldn't you love to see his browser history? No, I'd really rather not. But that's where his mind went. That's where the Christian's mind went. Because, of course, it did. He got the hell ratioed out of him. And somebody followed up. They probably sniffed Trump's. They're a very diverse agency. Somebody responded to that saying, depends. Trump's underwear is disposable, so. Oh, my God. But that's not all. No. For folks in the eastern and northeast PA area, this will probably occasion a giggle. Somebody decided it would be a good idea to send Dr. Oz to the grocery store. I wish I was kidding. You remember Nambia? Remember when Nitwit Nero talked about that shithole country called Nambia? Or do you remember when that leading light of Republican intellectualism, Nimrata Haley, engaged in conversation about a fictitious Asian island nation named Bonomo? Yeah. Well, they decided in an effort to sort of show Dr. Oz's common touch to send him grocery shopping. And then they put it out on the internet, even after they watched it. Try not to spit the hockey puck out, but go ahead and remove it if you feel like maybe you're gonna oh my God. Now, I mean, and this is a very local reference, but certain people will get this.
I thought I'd do some grocery shopping. I'm at Wegner's, and my wife wants some vegetables for crudité, right? So here's a broccoli. That's $2. Not a ton of broccoli here. Here's some asparagus. That's $4. Yep. Carrots. That's $4 more. That's $10 of vegetables there. And then we need some guacamole. That's $4 more. And she loves salsa. Yeah, salsa there. $6? Must be a shortage of salsa. Guys, that's $20 for crudité, and this doesn't include the tequila. I mean, that's outrageous. And we got Joe Biden to thank for this. Thought I'd do some grocery shopping. I'm at Wegner.
Yep. He's at Wegner's. Like I said, the eastern PA people will get this, and the Jersey people will get this. He's at Wegner's. Yeah, I'll go ahead and spoil the surprise. There is no grocery chain called Wegner's. There's a grocery chain called Wegmans. There's a grocery chain called Redner's. So Dr. Oz was just covering all the and he got sent shopping for, because again, there's the common touch. Because Emery and Marvelline are sitting there in their Barca loungers going, what the... Marvelline, what the hell is a crudité? Raw vegetables! Raw vegetables, Emery! Well, we ain't at them in years. He lied because he's Dr. Oz and he's a liar. I mean, this guy's been selling cinnamon to cure diabetes for a while, like Reverend Pastor Brother Minister, former governor, former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee over there at the Fox News. And if you watch the video and stop it here and there, you'll note that the $6 salsa that he points out is actually $4.99. And then there's the buying pre-made guacamole. What'd you... Dr. Oz, did you lose the guacamole recipe? Does Mrs. Oz often send you to the grocery store to do her crudité shopping? Oh, my great heavenly days. And he bought, like, one little head of broccoli, one bunch of asparagus, and, like, a 5-pound bag of carrots. None of which goes, oddly enough, none of which goes with avocado or salsa. But they couldn't have him over in the aisle. They couldn't send him over to the camembert and brie aisle, because the people that he's hoping will vote for him have no idea what either of those is. Is that that stanky cheese, Emery? Yeah, I think we bought some of it one time, Marveline. Remember, we thought it was done gone bad. Steve in New York says, raw veggies, Emery and Marveline, we prefer our raw veggies deep fried, and then they ain't raw no more. Well, I mean, they're getting up there. They mostly prefer their veggies pureed, Steve. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Ralphs. Replies are beautiful, one of which is Chasten Buttigieg got into the act. It's actually only crudité if the veggies are from the crudité region of France. Otherwise, it's just a veggie platter. Oh, yeah, we learned about the crudité region of France. French classic. Oh! And the desperate little maggots. Okay, you're focused on the name of the store when this is about prices. And $5 for a tiny thing of salsa. It was a pint. Is very bad. And the reply immediately landed. So make some or buy one of the other 20 kinds they sell. Oh, but that pint said restaurant salsa. They take all the salsa that they take to the table at the beginning and they pour it in pints when the people don't, and take it. Look, it's restaurant salsa. Oh, I gotta tell you though, food porn, just a moment's worth. So a new taco truck has opened up in Fayetteville. It's called the Taco Spot. And I wanted to try one yesterday. And frankly, it was about 51 cents more expensive than a Taco Supreme at Taco Hell. So, and it was, you know, street taco, so nice warmed corn tortilla, and I got the chicken, shredded chicken stewed in this beautiful tomato sauce, you know, with lovely rice and cilantro and onions, and let's not get into the cilantro thing, please, and cheese. And they had a wide variety of hot sauces there. And I tried a new one yesterday I'd never had before. It's from the tahine people. God, I love anything tahine. The sprinkling, the tahine. It's like Mexican Lowry's. I just love it on fruit. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. but it's a hot sauce kind of. It's got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of picante to it. Butchering Spanish, I know. Leave me alone. But it's called chamoy. And it's got some, like, maybe some peach in it or something. And it's the most, oh, it was the most delightful. And so I just absolutely bathed my taco in it. That probably doesn't come off well. I used a lot of the chamoy sauce on my chicken tenga taco. And it was, oh, it was so good. So I had to take Annette to an appointment today. And while she was in her appointment, I ran over to Wally World. God be praised, they had it. So I have my own bottle. And yes, I did. I poured myself a little shot of it. And just because if you see it, try it. Some of you have already had it, I'm sure, and are like, well, you're late to the game, Robin. I don't think I'm going to be able to do without this stuff. I doctored up some tomato juice with it earlier, and oh, just delightful, delightful. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Jeremy jumped in on Ralph's doubling offer, and said, "Come on, folks, voices like Robin's are important, if for nothing else than your sanity." Thank you, Jeremy. So there's $15 to go on that, and hopefully those $15 will show up, and that'll get us down below the $1,300 mark, which will keep us down below the $1,600 mark tomorrow. Wegner's. God. Ron and Raleigh says, why didn't he? He could have bought a party tray, which at Wegmans cost a pretty penny. Yeah, there's Wegmans in North Carolina, aren't they? Yeah, you've waxed poetic over Wegmans, Ron. But I guess he was going to take it home and have Mrs. Oz do all the heavy lifting, and them having guests coming over and all. Oh my God, says Emilio, binders of crudités. Suman pointing out, maybe Dr. Oz is trying out for MasterChef. I'm pretty sure, what's his name, the mean one, will have a field day with Dr. Oz. Or maybe Uncle Roger would. That would be cute. Ron and Raleigh says, I would have thought melanoma seems like the commando type of bimbo to me, ready for action at all times. Dr. Oz mixed Wegmans and Regners and got Wegners. Commando. Oh, Jesus. Irish Day says, like best foods, mayo is called Hellman's in the East. Maybe Wegmans is pronounced Wegner's in Jersey. Nice use of Jersey. I don't know what they would do if I walked into the Wiggling Pig and asked about the crudités. What? Adding to that, Dave says, when did y'all most recently encounter raw veggies that were priced in actual even dollar amounts? Seems like prices were like $4.99 rather than $5. Maybe that's a New Jersey thing, too. Like, you know, some states where you can't pump your own gas. I told you it was going to be a busy Moran Monday. I don't just make stuff up. And it being Moran Monday, we have a marginal trailer queen sighting. Marge has decided that she knows why guys are watching white guys, not just guys, white guys. Marge knows why white guys watch so much porn. I hope you didn't put the hockey puck away.
So you know that anyone that calls himself a Christian nationalist, you know if you're a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. And if you're not prepared to be persecuted, then you really need to ask yourself what your faith really means.
Oh, okay. Well, see, it's not the Christian part of Christian nationalist. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's the two together, which is just a different way of spelling Nazi. I know. Overstating the obvious again. And Marge is such a Christian. Oh, goodness me, she's such a Christian. I mean, doesn't her Bible say not to get divorced? But there she was, and here we are. Also said, I think there's somewhere in the New Testament where Jesus says not to get it on with your gym bunny pal.
Because we've seen all over the world, Christians are persecuted in ways we can't even comprehend, things we can't even understand, even to death. And I think it's time in America for the Christian church to start acting like the Christian church. And that's what I'm calling for. I'm calling for Christians. So you know what? You can't get
Wait, what does she mean? Like line up for the Lion Act? Because, I mean, that's what early Christians did. They're like, okay, you know, I mean, I guess we have to be eaten by lions now. That has subsequently been replaced in modern parlance by the Leopards Ate My Face Party.
Comfortable. Just going to church on Sunday and doing your Facebook check-in. Ooh, I'm here at church and taking a selfie or something. Enough of that. That's not what being a Christian is. Being a Christian is trying your best to walk the walk, talk the talk, and live that daily.
Okay, Marge. I didn't know that people were doing selfies in the pews. I didn't know that was a thing with y'all. Then again, Jesus said, if you need to pray, get in a closet and pray. Irony that he said closet. And then go about your business and don't what's the phrase that they're so fond of on the right wing? Don't ram it down people's throats. Jeremy adds, her accent is so fake. She's from Pennsylvania originally, not the South. Did you ever notice that? It's something I did. When Southerners move north, they pick up a northern accent, but when Northerners move south, they don't. So, consequently, you know, Marge does not sound like a Southern girl. And she's talking to somebody named Daniel Schmidt. I don't know who Daniel Schmidt is. Oh, he's a freshman at the University of Chicago. And he's the host of something called Piece of Schmidt. Oh, that's clever. And he's been on the Fox News. And he's just young and white. He says, I'm an 18-year-old college student. I just had the privilege, at least he acknowledges his privilege, to interview Tucker, testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson for 40 minutes. We talked about how porn damages young men. Is that data that young Piece of Schmidt has gathered empirically?
And that's an active faith. That's a faith that is an action. It's not a faith that you hide at home, or you don't carry God around in your pocket, and you can't just pull him out when you want to. It means that we have to be dedicated to...
Yeah, Danny, don't just pull him out when you want to, okay? That can be problematic.
him all the time, and we have to fight for our country. Being a nationalist, we fight for our country, and we need to fight the radical left. We need to fight the communist Democrats, and we need to stop everything that they're doing, because they're going to ruin your future, Daniel. And that is the whole reason.
He's a 18-year-old freshman at the University of Chicago. I think his future's pretty well secured, because if mommy and daddy can send you to that haven of right wingery, where they still get up every morning and bless the name of Milton Friedman, I think he's going to have a soft place to land under just about any circumstance. By the way, how do I get in touch with the Communist Democrats? Anybody? I don't think I've ever seen an email, and I get a lot of emails. I have never seen an email from the Communist Democrats. I mean, I'd kind of like to. You know, both of them.
Reason why I'm in Congress is I don't want to see them ruin your future or anybody in your generation.
Okay, she's in Congress for a kid in Chicago and represents a district in Georgia that couldn't find the University of Chicago with both hands, a Rand McNally map, a GPS, and a pack of bloodthirsty prison hounds, let alone spell it. But okay. But still, she's got a point to make here.
One of the things I got attacked about, I think it was even before I was sworn in as a member of Congress, it was over a statement I had made a while back, or a couple of years ago, is...
You know, back before she was sworn into Congress, you know, like when she was at that meeting at the White House with Nitwit Nero, that scream fest on, what was it, December 20th, where they were plotting the overthrow of the government of the United States, maybe like then?
Is that I believe that white men are the most persecuted identity in America.
Oh! And finally, young piece of Schmidt begins to nod. Young white men are the most persecuted part of society in America. And then the head bobbing starts. And not in a good way. And not to put it... I think if you were to go and look up young Daniel Schmidt on Twitter, I'm just very new to all of this. I think he falls under that category, and I don't want to misuse the phrase. I think he falls under that category called twink. If the gay guy community of the Horn Family Community Congregation could have a look and check, I want to make sure that I'm using the word properly. But he starts nodding when she says that white males are the most persecuted segment of society in America, because of course every day there's a cop kneeling on the neck of a little 18-year-old twink from the University of Chicago for 9.5 minutes. I mean, it's just there's just an absolute it's a pandemic. It's a pandemic of persecution.
And that's a bold statement to make, but I'll break that down for you. And the reason why I say that, and many people...
Oh, do tell us, Marge. Do tell us.
Many people have a hard time in life. I mean, that's just life. We all struggle, right? There is no one that has a free pass. Life is a struggle, no matter who you are.
I mean, Marge struggles to be in touch with basic reality every minute of every day. Marge struggles not to commit insurrection and sedition against the very government that signs her freaking paychecks. I mean, she has a struggle, but she doesn't have a struggle anything like young white men.
Whatever your identity is, but let's talk about why white men and young white men in particular are put bottom on the list of so many things. And it started a long time ago. It started even back when I was in school.
She was in school? Ever? And this went on and on and on.
But the reason why I, in particular, stick up for white men is because I know for a fact when you guys apply to college, you're put down at the bottom of the list. and everyone is allowed to be accepted and admitted into college. And then they finally move on to the white men. They got to get through the foreign students. They got to get through the girls. They got to get through certain races of girls. They got to, of course, wait, transgenders, we should move them to the top. And then the white guys, okay, we'll look at their grades and look at.
Why did he smile shyly to himself when they said, when she said the transgenders? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that, Danielle? Or Daniel? Why? We see you. You're valid. Is Steve in New York answering my call to the research department? Subject line, twink. I can probably speak for Matt on this one. We don't want to claim this guy, so we'd prefer to just use the word jerk or asshole or schmendrick or even fuckhead. But he's had such a struggle. Sich ein Kampf gehabt. All he needs is the Richard Spencer haircut, honest to God. The white male identity.
Then last, in major corporations, especially woke corporations, white men are passed over for any kind of promotion. Or
Any kind. A white guy hasn't been promoted in a corporation in America in at least the 15 seconds ago. O'Kellera.
Or even for being hired in the job place because they have to fill their minority quota.
Wait, being hired in the job place? Oh, she's just throwing words out there now and hoping they stick.
They don't hire based on job ability or past experience or even someone's character and ability to train them to do the job that they're hiring them for. No. It's about identity, identity, identity. And the white male identity is pushed to the bottom of the list.
She keeps coming back to pushing the bottom. Is the goddess of irony, did she possess the body of marginal trailer queen? Steve in New York says, white men last after foreigners? Urethra! What about the foreign white men? I saved this one for later in the program because it's... oh my God. This is so more in Monday.
And then what does everything tell you guys through Hollywood, through you know, books, through music, through our entire culture, is that white men are bad. White men, you know, they're bad. They have to be pushed to the back.
I can't figure out who's on whose show here. Poor little piece of Schmidt hasn't gotten to say a word. I think she's oppressing him.
They shouldn't be listened to. But what that's done to your generation and even some of those older than you and those definitely younger than you is it has created hopelessness in many of these guys.
Yeah, because young Danny here looks really hopeless. I mean, he's got his suit on and his little dress shirt and his little necktie and his hair. I mean, to invoke the ghost of Warren Zevon, his hair was perfect. And it's easy to tell that, I mean, every day is just a slog for young Daniel Piece of Schmidt.
Hopelessness, they're lost.
Probably the only white male in his entire graduating class at the University of Chicago.
They grew up in a broken home or maybe just a really bad home. No one is there for them as they're growing up. They spend time hours and hours alone, which is what do they do with their time when they're alone? They don't have an after-school job if they're in high school. Maybe they don't. They probably don't play a sport. So they're spending hours and hours time alone, which turns them to all kinds of bad things. Porn on the internet, reading crazy stuff in chat rooms, and God knows who's in there and saying what they're saying. A lot of time playing video games, and I know people don't like to
porn video games.
demonize video games, but I do think that maybe has a role there for certain people. But what hopelessness brings is depression.
Yeah. And everybody knows when you get depressed, the only way out is to watch porn. Mm-hmm. What kind of porn do you think Danny's watching, Marge? I mean, like I said, he did kind of show a little twinkle in his eye and a shy little smile when you said transgenders. Hmm? Do you think he... Oh, no. Oh, Marge. Marge, honey, I think you're in Danny's spank bank, honey. Oh, well. You probably like that. Because you're a Christian nationalist and you stand up for the white boys. The Christian Church? Ron and Raleigh asked. There's probably 40,000 Christian sects. Which one is this dumb twit talking about? She wants a theocracy, but all the other religions can pound sand. Religious freedom be damned. By the way, sitting in for Tucky this week. You just had to tell me, didn't you? Sitting in for Tucky this week, Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, she's going to open her mouth and the bats are going to fly out. I guess she's gone full on Narendra Modi or something. That kind of fascism. Lord. And Randy Radar says, for the longest time, there was an American Communist Party candidate every presidential election. If I could recall the guy, which I can't, he could probably be Googled. But that's not what she said, Randy. She said the Democratic Communists. The American Communist Party is an entirely separate party. Them I get. I mean, they are who they are. But she said there's Democratic Communists. I want names. Because, you know, I want to party with them. Now I get it, Stephen New York says. The plight of white men leads to depression, which leads them to having to take SSRIs, which, of course, causes them to murder children. Wait, you missed the masturbation somewhere. And the porn. Show your work, Steve. God, this is so good. He nods with real aplomb, does Danny. Sakes alive. Let's run over to the stress line real quick and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is in the farm animals. Just my guess.
I can.
Hi. Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
That's a wrong term. I guess sweetheart.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's fine. That's fine. Beats the fuck out of hey, dude. That is one of the great opening lines of any call in the entire history of the horn. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is into farm animals. Bah!
You know, like the piggly, wiggly, weenie. There, wiggly, right? Or corkscrew?
Yeah, the screwy.
So, I mean, it all kind of fits, right?
Entirely.
It all goes together, right?
Entirely too well. I don't know if I'm going to be okay after that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Stephanie Marr called her sport foot.
Marge, who's that? Oh, don't worry. That's just Daniel.
You're bad.
Thank you. Well played.
You like it. What a crazy thing. You talked about Samantha as well. Not that I'm complaining about hanging on. I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
So I kind of know. No, don't be sorry. It's just, I'm kind of scatterbrained anyway. But I think about so many things. I was like, oh, I should think of something clever to say. And, oh, shit, I forgot.
Well, it is an information-dense program.
Yeah, oh, for sure, Robin. So, speaking of information-dense program, we should support this program, and I will do my part, and I will take two-thirds of $100, so $66.33, right, or 33 cents. Anyway, if somebody matches my $66, then I'll hit 100.
Okay, so if somebody
does that make sense? Instead of a halfway challenge, it's more of a two-thirds challenge.
Yeah, you've got 66.66, and you're looking for somebody to match 33.33.
Yes. Three people?
Yeah.
I won't put you through the math rigors.
No, this one's easy. Anybody who's ever had so much as a cup of coffee in law school can divide any number by three.
Exactly. I know. I've been working with my mom's a state lawyer, and he has a chime that goes off. What was it, every 10 minutes? Is that something like?
Probably every six.
Billable hours.
Every six. Billable hours are divided into little 6 minute blocks.
I see. Okay. Wow. Interesting. that's quite fascinating. But anyway, I kind of wanted to get some stuff off my chest. We had the ritual for my mom and my brother. So my mom passed in January, and my brother, it's almost 2 years now. So we had a funeral, and I had a picnic. It went over very well. It's been so beautiful here. I mean, I don't pray, but geez, if I would have prayed, I probably got rained on. But I forgot how great charcoal tastes.
It depends on the context and the medium, Ken.
Yeah, for sure. I got a cheapo rubber grill, but at least I got some good meat, ground chuck, and Angus.
Sounds righteous.
It went over really super well. I could have been happier with the weather being so beautiful. Wow. It's hard to do, and gathering of family, and family is important to me, and like this family is important to me.
Well, did family behave appropriately?
Oh yeah,
good.
Yeah, well, I've never talked about it. Half of my family is the right wing stupid kind.
That's kind of what I was worried about. Anytime you say family gathering in 2021.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I'm a, what did you say, communist Democrat? I'm a communist Democrat, so. And these guys are Looney Tunes. My cousin, I love dearly, and she's like, well, I'm an independent. Well, she's only just asking questions, kind of. She's like jacking off. She doesn't have a penis, though. I don't know what the corollary is, but, it's so stupid. They never have to take a position. Right? I mean, you never have to get pinned down on a position. Well, abortion is right or wrong. Is it a right or is it not? Well, like, well, we just asked some questions. Well, are you kidding? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The just asking questions part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I've been listening to shows you were talking about that asshole on the radio on Spotify. Anyway, yeah, exactly. It's just like that, just asking questions. Like, well, I'm questioning everything. Well, yeah, you do question everything, but at some point you come to a determination, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point of the questioning, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Well, it's common sense. Well, what's common sense? Well, common sense to, you know, somebody is a dimwit and... Sorry, that doesn't make any sense at all. Or it's just logic. Well, logic has fallacy arguments. That's why it took symbolic logic. You can spot an argument. You know, if not P, then Q, and not Q. I'm sure you took that, right?
Oh, I did. I did. My head still hurts, but I got through.
I liked it. I don't know, it was kind of like algebra. I really liked it. And I loved my professor. He was actually my one of my mentors, or, you know, whatever. The guy who tell me what classes to take. Quite interesting. And that's why I like this show, because we have smart people and very lovely and caring people in this family. That's why Robin needs to continue.
Well, I appreciate it, Ken. I really, really do. And the, you know, the wisdom and the intelligence of this community is what makes it worth doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I think we're seeing the long-term effects of it. Dealing with conspiratorial right-wing audiences drove Rush Limbaugh to become a junkie. It put the Beckerhead at the brink of suicide. Tucky O. Rose is toasting his testicles now.
He can just hang himself out.
And he's
worse than himself.
And Alex Jones is just gone.
Oh, my God. I hope they get annihilated in the next two cases. I really do. These people got to be held responsible. You can't keep getting away with this stuff. For fuck's sake. Stochastic terrorism. Exactly what it is. I mean, they got their... Trump's ordering around the brown shirts to steal an election. Yikes. It's history, that the way I understand it. I'm not too well versed, but gee, common sense says.
Well, and in fact, speaking of common sense, I just now got a brand new Marginal Trailer Queen. We thought that was good. There's right. More.
Oh no.
Brian Tyler Cohen reported Marginal Trailer Queen just said she opposes solar panels because they would cause the lights to turn off at night. I like the lights on. I want to stay up later at night. I don't want to have to go to bed when the sun sets. And then the audience applauded, Ken. They applauded.
Oh, no. Is she that stupid, or she knows the audience is that stupid?
I don't think those two things have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, they don't, but that's a good question, though. None that we can come to any conclusion on, but
I mean, she can be an idiot who knows that being an idiot is good business in Merca.
Well, right. Right. It's about being a grifter. None of us can understand being a grifter because we're not. I can't wrap my head around it. I just can't.
You know, if the paleo chocolate chicken bone nutritional beverage people came to me right now and said, Robin, $800,000 a day can be yours. All you have to do is take a big old swig of this here paleo chocolate chicken bone nutritional beverage with a camera on and look like you like it and talk about it every night.
Here, eat this shit sandwich and tell me you like it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pass.
I'm glad you would. I mean, there are things.
I guess there are things I would love to advertise out there. Hell, some of them might even be.
For sure.
I mean, look at the free airtime I've given to the Kaneka Sausage Company.
Yeah, Kaneka and their hot sauce. And, oh my gosh.
And this new thing, the chamoy sauce. I mean, I don't. And it would be great to be paid for that, but you know, I mean. God, Kaneka,
you know that
the Kaneka people probably have a maggot flag flying at their plant. I mean, it's deep in the heart of Alabama, but I'm not going to hold. I mean, sausage has, but I draw the line at hate filet. I do.
I don't either. So
I mean, they're in crisis in Beckley right now, Ken, because. The local hate filet there on Eisenhower Drive has been shut down since last month. They are closed from July to September, and there are Christians just kind of walking around outside the construction site, and they're kind of scratching and stuff, you know, kind of like, you know, well, you know what it, when you get to scratching, and because. You know, There's only one hate filet in Beckley now, and it's over on Harper Road, and it's terribly confusing to them. Jesus, why did you close our Chick-fil-A?
Oh, they try to start a union?
No, it's closed for remodeling.
Oh. I thought somebody mentioned the word union, and like,
they're never going to have that. They're never going to do that.
Put a tent over it and. Not in Alabama. I'm a northerner, so I have no earthly idea what you're talking about.
But I would gladly advertise for the Bluebell Ice Cream Company of Texas, for God's sakes.
For sure.
I would beg them to get a creamery, build a creamery close enough to me that I can get some of that. It's just amazing. But then again, it's just as well we don't have one because I would be constant. Every time I walk by the, I just have a spoon laying by the refrigerator, and every time I walk by the freezer, I'd just be in it and scooping. And not good for a girl's figure.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a.
Then we could start a bidding war between them and Ben and Jerry's.
Habit. Oh, yeah. No, that sounds like an ex-smoker habit.
Oh, it's my.
You go ice cream. I eat like cashews and those are kind of fatty too. But
Joy in Ann Arbor knows. She knows what it's like to have a Bluebell Jones. It's bad. And it was really frustrating for me while I was, you know, because I was down there for a couple of days, and it was all just so busy that I didn't, and it's a, you know, wham, and I didn't even have a chance to pick up a pint of Bluebell, and I came and I was like, oh no, and by the time I thought about it, I was outside Bluebell range.
Yeah, I've never had it. So that must be a southern thing.
Yeah, if you ever
had Breyers, it was really great, and then they changed it. They added that slurm stuff to it.
Yes, they added the slurm stuff to it. Yeah. The guar gum.
Right.
And the locust bean gum. Those aren't vanilla beans. Those are locust beans. From real locusts?
Oh, God, Futurama was so hilarious. I love that show.
Oh, Slurm, yeah.
With the floating heads and the Slurm. Oh, my God. And, yeah, I just cry. I'm like, just like Fry.
Oh, what at some point in time, we are all Fry.
Yeah.
If we're not, if we're not Leeloo.
Yeah, oh, there you go. I only got one good eye.
And, you know, we've had two Georgia song references this evening. Earlier, it was Midnight Train to Georgia for Rudy Giuliani, a long-distance dedication. And with a cowbell for Dave, when the lights go off in Georgia, that's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. I blame the sun for going down. Oh, well, this program is so screwed. I can't quit singing.
Yeah, well, that's fine. We still play the Midnight Train at Georgia and the funk band that I played in.
Oh, really?
That's when we went. We did that last song in the set, and we'd go on the break. You know, drummers would go on break and snort a bunch of coke and drink lots of beer. But anyway, enough of my problems. No, I'm done with that, so we're good. So in the past, we all have regrets to make. Possibly good news.
Yeah.
My daughter may be move in with me.
Aw.
That would be so sweet. I'd be tickled pink. I'm already kind of pink, but more pink.
Oh, I know about being pink, yes.
Right. So, I missed out a lot of her childhood, and I have the space now, and God, she's more than welcome. I've been thinking about it. I don't want to get my hopes up too high, but, you know, I don't get disappointed. But I would really, I feel bad about, look, I had a drinking problem, and I would like to make up for it. I just, the drinking was a problem only as I was just, I didn't, you know, hurt my kids or any, by any stretch of imagination. I just hurt myself. I'm pretty good at doing that, hurting myself.
Unfortunately, it's a... Yeah.
What was that Johnny Cash song? I hurt myself today.
Yeah, hurt, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Started out as a, what, Nine Inch Nails song?
It might be. I like metal, but not that particularly, but... Wow.
Well, see, I'm getting in trouble again.
I know.
I'm getting in trouble again, Ken. I got a note from Kim in New Jersey. We've got a Kim in New York and a Kim in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey. Okay, Robin, there you go again. So Malin was born in Morristown, New Jersey, about 40 miles west of New York City. He grew up on a farm in Chester, New Jersey, about 10 miles farther west. His extensive extended family never said Jersey. I was born in Hoboken. Whoo, I'm dying again. That's Bugs Bunny. Don't hold it against me, Kim. Along with three siblings, we lived in Secaucus, New Jersey, Hudson County, just about 5 miles west of Manhattan. We moved to Horsey Country when I was about 10. Our neighboring town was Bedminster. We all know who has a golf course there. Yes, Bedminster. My grandparents and parents were all born in Hudson County, walking distance to the Hudson River. Nobody ever said anything close to Jersey. I went to the Rutgers College of Pharmacy in Piscataway, New Jersey, and I got all the way through Piscataway and didn't screw that up. Everyone at Rutgers is from New Jersey. I happen to know someone who went from West Virginia who went, never mind. I never heard anyone say Jersey, in spite of Joe Piscopo's shtick on Saturday Night Live. Jersey is the stereotypical way some people from places like Brooklyn might have pronounced it, mostly in bad Hollywood gangster movies. Signed, Kim and Malin, not from Jersey. From New Jersey. Thank you, Kim. You know I love you both.
Thanks.
Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, you Dweezy. I always heard Dweezy too.
Well, I think that was I think he was right. That's New Yorkers. Yeah, that's New Yorkers saying Jersey. Yeah. It's like that line. There's a line from Thornton Wilder's The Matchmaker, where there's some reference to Yonkers, New York. And I think Dolly utters the line, "Even the pigeons are leaving Yonkers." So. Yeah, my mind, God forbid. It's a mess. Well, I am terribly glad to hear from you. So and so you've got $66 out there that's looking for 33. Ralph's is looking for another 15. So $48 turns into $150.
I feel like every time I call, the goddamn hole is so big.
I'm sorry about that. I wish it wasn't.
I know it's not your fault. I'm begging, and for my own self interest, fuck all y'all. For my own self interest, I need Robin. So, cough it up, people.
Damn, going hardcore, Ken.
Yeah, you can't do it to me. So, please, if you can. $5, please support the program.
It's basically 10 people at five people at 10. That kind of ciphering I can handle.
Sure.
That would knock down a half a day. Well, the best part of it is we'd actually be done with Friday, August the 5th fundraising.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Which is kind of amazing and depressing. Wow. Thank you, Ken. You have a wonderful evening. It's wonderful to hear from you.
That's great. I will be in touch, and I love you and the family, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Ken in the far northwestern corner of Pennsylvania. I don't know. Do they have Wegners up there, Ken? I should have asked you first, but... Wegners. It's a grocery chain headquartered in Nambia. What is it with? I mean, sure, I get into trouble with about regional pronunciation of states, but I don't invent entire different states. I mean, I kind of do. Pennsylvania, Bamistan. Oh, for all have sinned and come short of the. Never mind. Let's run over to the Skype line, check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin.
How are you? Get Don on the phone.
Get Don on the phone. You want me to be honest?
I don't know.
Well, I want to talk about the Netflix, Netroots. What is it called? Netroots Nation?
Yes.
I want to talk about that, but I got a couple of things.
Okay.
The communist presidential candidate... It could have been Earl Browder or Gus Hall. It may have been both of them.
Okay. Randy will be glad to know that. But again, not a communist Democrat.
No, hell no. We don't need to be communists.
I didn't even know that. I knew we had democratic socialists.
See, the thing is, I know it's your show and everything, but must we listen to a BOAC from Georgia? And you can figure out that acronym, and it don't mean the old British airline either. And I don't want to use that word because it's one of the ugliest words that there is. But BOA.
No, I've already got it. They're a lot more free and easy with that word in the United Kingdom and up over down under in Australia.
Yeah, they sure are, aren't they? And they're a happier people, I think. But anyway. There's just something about her. If I wanted to pay strict attention and listen carefully to something or someone that had nothing worthwhile to add, I've got a rather substantial pile of Cheeto dust on my coffee table, and I could sit and just listen for hours and get about the same impact, except it wouldn't make me mad, because you don't expect a pile of Cheeto dust to upset you. It's just there because you're too lazy to sweep
it. Well, I mean,
up.
It's just what happens at the bottom of the Cheeto bag.
Yeah, exactly. And you want that dust. There's, I don't snort it. I haven't gone that far.
Oh, you haven't lived. You get that little orange ring around your nostril, and it's a telltale sign, you know, and you rub a little Cheeto dust on your gums.
It's a little pinch between the cheek and gum. This is Walt Garrison, or what was his name, the guy that used to do the snuff commercials? He was a musician or a cowboy or something. Somebody can look that up. Anyway. But I just, as a personal favor, trees, please use your BOAC
filter.
Audio. Use it more sparingly. A little goes a long way, as it were. Because I tell you,
but
I
we don't. But that was kind of a special occasion.
You hate us. That's what it is.
No. All we got in common is our misery. So the least we can do is share it. But that was special. I haven't seen a marginal trailer queen story that had multi parts in it where she delved so deeply into her theories of the collapse of American culture and the plight and the struggle of young white males who are going to who are freshmen at one of the most expensive colleges in the country.
I've been on a long list of bottoms for years, and it never inhibited my opportunities. I'm letting
that one bounce harmlessly off the rim. I'm sorry.
What's in this coffee? Somebody get Don on the phone. They put some, they're monkeying with my coffee. But anyway,
oh, no, not the math problems again.
No, yeah. But anyway, the
got his little visor.
Now, who were, what was that? I
got his little visor on. I don't know why that just does that to me.
I know.
Probably the drugs.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. But anyway, now this is going to, did you say it's Pittsburgh or Philadelphia?
Pittsburgh. Philadelphia was 2019.
Okay. Now, this is a gathering of progressive / liberal / reality-based program hosts and hostesses. Is that hostettes? No, those are donuts. Anyway, so that's what that is. It's a gathering of media on our side, commiserating and trading business cards and horror stories about management. I don't know. That was in the form of a question, Alex.
Are you saying what goes on?
Yeah, I mean, am I fairly clear on?
Oh, there's all kinds of progressive panels, and there'll be plenary sessions with speakers. And I imagine part of the reason that they selected Pittsburgh this year was because of the Fetterman-Oz race. So I would not be surprised if either John Fetterman or one of his surrogates shows up. And then, of course, what's his name? Jesus, shame on you, Robin. Is it Shapiro? He was attorney general, or is attorney general of Pennsylvania, Shapiro, who's the gubernatorial nominee. I think John Fetterman's getting all the attention. And that's a little worrisome because Doug Mastriano, the maggot who actually attended and participated in the terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States on January 6, 2021, he's getting plenty of attention. And, you know, the old saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
I've heard that, but I don't believe it.
And if people, you know, if the maggots in PA are thoroughly reminded that he was at the terrorist attack, and they see that as a good thing, that could motivate them right out from behind the baseboards.
Yeah, they'd scurry. They would scurry. The thing is, though, I mean, I when you were talking about Dr. Oz at the grocery store, I couldn't help
from the Crudité region of France.
I couldn't help but think about HW marveling at a scanner mechanism at a checkout.
Oh yeah,
at a grocery store. I mean, when you have someone who is that fucking out of touch with everyday life in America, you have cause to worry, I think. You know, and how is it? I didn't know that Joe Biden was also a farmer on the side. How is it that he's responsible solely and completely
for the price of things, salsa and? Well, how is he responsible for the price of avocados? Last I checked, the price of avocados and guacamole went up because of all the little millennials who can't live without sourdough or without avocado toast,
right.
which make no mistake, is freaking delicious.
Well, you can have mine because I'm not much of an avocado user.
I mean, in point of fact, avocado toast was the first thing that I prepared in the kitchen as I was, Annette and I were down in our little apartment in Birmingham. And we'd gotten some good sourdough from Publix, and I toasted it ever so lightly because you don't want it hard. How do I get in this trouble? But ever so lightly, and then, you know, I put some of that wonderful non-GMO butter, you know, where the cows are spoken to sweetly every day, and a little bit of that, and then mashed some ripe avocado on it. You know, the one that we got to eat out of the bag of six, the rest of them just went bad, because that's what happens. It was the first thing I cooked after surgery, that I was strong enough to just stand there in the kitchen and do something.
Now, how do you do sourdough toast points? Because you've got to serve. If you're going to be a viable person in the modern world, you've got to put your avocado spread onto points, toast points.
Oh, no. Avocado toast is an entire slice of bread. It's just toast with avocado and maybe butter on it. And I would hit it with some pink Himalayan salt because they gave us some pink Himalayan salt when we moved in.
Is it mined fresh daily by pink Himalayans? I want to see that. Geographic.
Yeah, and you know they're really cute because they're pink and they've got those saffron robes and they're working in the salt mine, going down, working in the salt mine. Whoops! No wonder we're in the hole we're in here. That's working, four tonight.
Working. Now they're pink. They're pink Himalayans wearing orange robes. Doesn't that clash? Where's my color chart? I don't know. But I wanted to get into the business of advertising on the
Fuck
radio.
You, Scott.
What?
Fuck you and your pink Himalayans. God damn it.
And what color does a Smurf get when you're choking it? They can't very well turn blue. Bluer.
Pink! Pink!
Pink. And they're Himalayans through and through. Is that what you're telling me?
Where do you think they come from? Oh, I'm gonna get so much shit.
Rosé salt. Give me some Himalayan rosé salt, if you please. And I'll trade you my bottle of Grey Poupon if you'll give me some pink Himalayan.
Have you ever had that chamoy sauce?
No, I remember. Didn't he used to work for CNN in the early days, Mike Chamoy?
Shut up! Oh, this is the only program in America today that's got a Mike Chamoy reference. We used to cut up packages for use on the radio network of Mike Chamoy in China. No, yeah. This is Chamoy, Chamoy.
Oh, what's it taste like?
It's like a really, really mild hot sauce that has a little bit of sweet fruitiness to it, like maybe a peach.
Did you say sweet?
Sweet. Yes, it's very sweet.
And sweet, sweet hot strawberries. Yeah, I would have found that tea if with geometric logic. Good God, stop me before I
finish. Oh no, I had I forget what I was thinking, but there was some geometric logic involved earlier today. I thought of that phrase.
Well, what I was going to say with the prospect of advertising to help, you know, to add another revenue stream, it probably is not a bad thing if you choose your products carefully, because you don't want a lot of schlock, you know. And there are some good products out there that people use, and progressives are people, despite what you hear old BOAC talk
Democratic
about.
Communists.
Yeah, Democrat. Get Earl Browder on the phone. If he's busy, get Gus Hall. How do I know these names? I'm too old. That's what the problem is. But
you're learning the younger ones so much.
Yeah, but they have to look at. They have to Google all this.
They've
stuff.
Been raised on it. They can Google Browder faster than you can say it.
Yeah, that it didn't take me long. B R O W D E R, first name Earl. I think if there's a website where you can get, I don't know who. I guess after a period of time, they have to release it. Everybody's FBI file. Have you ever seen that website?
I don't think so.
Check that out when you're sitting around with nothing to do. It's pretty fascinating, the shit that, and a lot of it is still got black marks on it, you know, redacted, because I guess the source or the subject is still upright and above ground. But it's pretty fascinating reading. And see, I find myself having trouble on one, because I know the longer history of Hoover's FBI, okay? And I like to root for the good guys, and I think
in the tent
world,
pissing out, not out of the tent pissing in. Yes.
Yeah, but I tend to think that today's FBI bears little resemblance in important ways to Hoover's FBI, because that was all about secrets and getting dirt and dishing the dirt and holding the dirt over the politician's head and all of that. And maybe some of that goes on, but I would like to think that it doesn't. Good God! If you can't root for a major law enforcement agency to go after people who are obviously engaging in criminal behavior like stealing documents, and this wasn't an oversight. This is the thing they're trying to sell it. Well, you know, first of all, he had declassified them, which is another thing. You don't wave a wand on a whim. There's a step-by-step process that must occur to officially declassify documents. That would be like if I put kittens in a muffin tin, that doesn't make them muffins or cupcakes. You can't just call it something because in your twisted mind you think that that's what it is. That's what got us into this fucking situation. Not only the candidates doing that shit, but the voters saying, well, yeah, I think he's got a point. Don't you? Not like Quick Draw McGraw. But I just...
Well done.
Baba Louie. Quick Straw. But you get what I mean. And I know I get silly with it, but there are serious things to keep in mind as we move forward to November. We cannot let these fools anywhere near the levers of power.
No! No!
You know, and if we don't know that by now, then we're screwed. There's no hope. There's no going forward. But it just tries my
patience. But that goes back to some of what we were talking about on Friday. There's parts of this country that are not going to change. I was talking to Miss Terry about it, too. You know, Alabama's not going to get any saner. Neither is Mississippi. The entire Confederacy is still going to stay nutty. So the problem, and I think I said this to Steve in New York as well, the problem is that the future of America will be won or lost in districts held by so-called vulnerable Democrats. And for the life of me, and it just shows my thought processes, I guess. It says more about me than about the nature of this country. I just keep looking and going, how in the wide, wide world of sports can anybody who cares about human rights, civil rights, whatever, ever vote for a Republican? I mean, they're done. They're out and about, and I mean they've shown themselves for who they are, and yet we've got, you know, for instance, a lot of women in this country who are self-hating and will vote for Republicans, I guess, because they're protecting the little fetuses.
Well, and out of fairness, I'm not going to mention the names, but you know, you have Friday on the front porch, and then you have the actual front porch where the callers call in and participate and rock and pick and scratch and play folk songs on the guitar.
Mumbly peg.
Mumbly peg. And then after...
then there's the back porch.
Okay, well, and after the back porch is pretty much diminished down to nearly nothing, sometimes I will stick around, and I stuck around with somebody else who I won't mention the name. And I tried every way I could with this family member to hear this family member tell it, the Republicans have already won. Well, the first vote has not been cast, much less counted.
Well, no, there's a certain grim pessimism that attends all of this, because betting on the intelligence of the American people in an electoral scenario is not money well betted.
It's not a safe bet, in other words.
Yeah, thank you. I'm having trouble with English all of a sudden.
Well, I get that. I do get that, believe me.
And frankly, the biggest contributor to that, Scott, is the multimillionaire for-profit media. I mean, it's a goddamn drumbeat every freaking day. Oh, the Democrats are going to hell. The Democrats are going to get shellacked. Why don't they just go home now and turn it all over? And tomorrow, by all rights, Liz Cheney loses her job because Harriet Hagabag or whatever, Hageman. I don't know why I've got a problem with that.
It's Haggis Baggis.
Sounds like a character out of Joanne Rowling, but
that actually was a game show.
Oh dear God! Did you get a year's supply of haggis? The Edinburgh treat?
No, it was one of those. I think it was a Merrill Heater, Bob Quigley shows in the early '60s, and I think it was Dennis James who was the host. There's a name from the past, but. Haggis. God, don't get me started on haggis.
Oh, well, I was going
to... Get back to what you were saying.
I was going to mention to you, you know, I got up this morning, I turned on my filthy morning habit.
I wish you'd stop that. It's not good for you.
Well, you'll be happy to hear then that I got so... I just got so disgusted, and I noticed, you know, because over there on the other side of the... On the side of the screen, they'll tell you what else is playing on other channels. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? Hogan's Heroes reruns.
I know nothing. Yeah. Well, sometimes you learn more from 50-some-year-old sitcoms than you do from what they laughingly refer to as the news media in today's world. So, yeah, you might have been on.
I mean, there's some suit at MSNBC that's looking at the report going, hey, wait a minute. Look at this data point. Somebody left us for Hogan's Heroes reruns.
Get Don on the phone. Yeah. I don't...
And the thing is, I'll tell you honestly why I went to Hogan's Heroes, because I also had Gilligan's Island. But I couldn't deal with that level of tragedy this morning, you know, Gilligan's Island.
I never bought... I could buy into the premise of Hogan's Heroes long before the premise of Gilligan's Island. Now, if you listen to the theme song, one of the repeated phrases is a three-hour tour.
Yes.
Now, why in the fluorescent hell do the Howells, the rich, wealthy, snooty Howells, pack all of that shit? Because throughout the series,
well, never mind that. Ginger's wardrobe, please.
Well, yeah, that too. And I'm
Marianne had to walk around in the same little pair of cute little cutoffs and a halter top. You know,
like she was a reject from a Hee-Haw casting call.
Oh, she was the cute one. Quit it.
I liked her.
Dawn Wells was apparently a darling.
She was. I know people who know her, and she was.
And And Gilligan, hours, Gilligan, hours. same outfit. Skipper, yeah. Same outfit.
Yeah.
But pretty much same outfit for the profession. Well, what we've got here is they probably foundered and wrecked in the storm because the minnow was overloaded with the wardrobe for Mr. and Mrs. Howell and Ginger.
Yeah, all that crap. Yeah. And the only
I mean, who takes a gold lame gown on a 3-hour tour? Oh, my God, we're giving this way too much airtime. Save your relatability for your friends.
The nearest landmass to, and I could tell from the opening shot, that's a marina in the Los Angeles area.
Of course
and
it is.
The nearest thing is Catalina, which is not heavily populated.
But not altogether unknown.
Exactly. There are even the songs about it. 26 miles across the sea. Santa Catalina is waiting for me. You know, I mean, come on.
You know the song, Jesus Christ.
It's the island of romance. Anyway.
You're not, the four ditties I sang didn't help. You may have just driven the last nail in the coffin, Scott.
I think Dom's going to get me on the phone before this is over. But I just...
Yeah, get him off right. the air! He's killing us!
Right. Yeah, our CPM is going into the shitter.
We already lost a viewer to Hogan's Heroes this morning.
But anyway, I just you've got to laugh to keep from crying. I mean, you really do. And we cannot, this is one of these deals, and I hate to use the expression, the most important election of our lives again. But it is.
Well, and each successive election is the most important election of our lives, because at this point, and I mean, I know some American history. I don't know of any other time where each successive election has been literally a hinge to our continued survival.
Yeah, and lately we've been seeing a lot of that. And see, if all along, if from the time you turn voting age, you participate in every opportunity there is for you to vote, you participate with some wit and intelligence and panache and verve and right thinking, we wouldn't be in the condition that prompts people to call each new election the most important, pivotal, existential election ever. Am I wrong there?
No.
I mean, some people I know, they think that the election has as much impact as the button on the pole at the intersection that determines walk versus don't walk. I don't believe that that's the case.
You know, I knew somebody years ago who was absolutely convinced, and this person wasn't, well, at that point in time, eaten up in conspiracy theories. But I knew someone who said, you know the door close button on an elevator? You know, not all elevators have a door close button.
Really? I thought that was required.
Yeah, I've seen them that didn't, but somebody will, I'll get an email.
All right.
This person's theory was that the door close button was entirely fraudulent. And it just gave anxious people something to do until the doors did close.
I've never heard that before.
Well, it's not true. I mean, some of them close slower than others, but no. But the thing is, we as the curious little big brain primates that we are, we can make associations where associations don't necessarily exist. And so, if you really want to get going, if you're in a hurry, if you're late for your appointment on the 43rd floor of the Schmendrick building.
High atop the beautiful Schmendrick building.
Yeah, then, you know, you're going to press the door close button. God damn it. And it seems like you press it and press it. And so we create a false association.
Well, the people who
it's kind of like
that,
Comet Ping Pong Pizza and child prostitution rings.
The people who believe that the button has no function but to give you something to do, and it doesn't cause anything to do anything, what purpose do they think it serves in the grand, vast conspiracy?
It's a fidget spinner. And, you know, and of course, adding the door close button is value added to the cost of the elevator. Or, I'm sorry, lift, for our English listeners.
I remember in department stores. Is Lerner's still around, the ladies' clothing store, Lerner's?
Maybe.
All right. I remember the Lerner's at King and Washington in Alexandria had two floors and had an elevator and a grand staircase, and we always took the elevator. And they had a little lady who sat on a stool and operated the elevator to go up one floor, come down one floor. And about a block and a half from there was the main post office in Alexandria, Virginia. And they had an elevator with an elevator operator. I mean, that's how old
all elevators used to have elevator operators. Push button elevators were a while coming along.
And you never asked them how they enjoyed their job, because invariably they would say, well, it has its ups and downs. And I'm sure by the time retirement age rolled around, they were probably so sick of that they took the gold watch and slammed it up against the door of the lift and said, screw it, I'm out of here. But anyway, how do we get onto elevators, Robin? Was that me?
Well, it was the button, and it was paranoia, and
yeah. Oh, tying into the mindset of some people that voting doesn't make any difference. Voting can make a powerful difference, but you've got to do it, and you've got to do it intelligently, and you've got to do it consistently, and bring people with you who you know are going to vote like they've got some fucking sense.
And it would be nice. It would be so nice if we could stop treating the deadly serious business of politics like a goddamn game show or WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's polling data. We've seen it, you know, like Super Bowl time. Who do you think will win the Super Bowl? It has absolutely no impact on the outcome. Or people who fill out their March Madness brackets. I mean, it's fun. It adds a certain level of sort of a participatory buzz to it. But it doesn't have anything to do with the playing of the game. And this is, not to sound all, you know, pissy and nerdy, but Oh, God, I'm going to get boring. In the days of the Byzantine Empire, chariot racing was all the rage. And we're talking about a hippodrome that could hold 100,000 or more people.
Did they have sponsors?
You're goddamn right they did. And there were two factions. The greens and the blues. And these fuckers would beat the shit out of each other in the streets. You know, sort of like modern soccer hooligans.
Now, when would this have been? Because I'm not up on my...
No, I mean, this is like the 600 CE. Okay. 700, 800. I mean, you know, the glory days of Justinian and Theodosia the Kinky.
Hello?
Yeah.
What geography?
Constantinople.
What is that known as now?
Istanbul.
Istanbul, yes. There's a song about that too, a popular song.
Yes, Istanbul.
It's not Constantinople.
Istanbul, not Constantinople. Yeah.
But so
by, they the might blues, be giants.
The blues and the greens.
Uh huh.
With their chariot races, you were going somewhere with that, and I want to.
Well, no, I mean, it's just that, you know, we do, you know, oh, I'm a Republican, oh, I'm a Democrat. and this is not the third party. This is not, no, I'm not going to shock anybody by saying it. But when I became a Democrat, I became a Democrat because I had been educated to understand that I came from the class that naturally votes for a Democrat. Working people. I mean, from the time I was little, I would hear my dad say, the Republicans want to create an America that has two classes, the very rich and the very poor, and the very poor will be most of us, and the very rich will be the very few of them, and the trick is to get the very poor to vote for the very rich.
And don't fall into that trap.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I was preached the holy gospel of unions from the time that I was old enough to listen.
Well, there was a time when, and maybe it's just because he served so long, but there was a time, well, there's other reasons besides, but there was a time where you could go into virtually any state in the union and find hanging on the wall a picture of the president, which at that time would have been FDR.
Yeah. And, you know my father and mother had real world experience with the difference between, you know, having a union and not.
What happened? How did we fuck up?
Because
when you talk about it being like a game show or a, quote, reality show, now let's go back to 2016. If the Republican Party was treating it as a game show, they had the perfect host, and I have perfect in air quotes as well. Because, I mean, if this is the level of discourse and seriousness that if this is the level they're operating at, then anybody who votes for a Republican, anything from dog catcher to president, is a goddamn fool.
If you work for a living, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, and we don't have the time, really, we don't have the time, but the fact of the matter is that the messaging onslaught from various and sundry messaging evil geniuses of the right wing, you know, guns, religion, you know, from the early part of the century, God, gays, and guns. And it worked because the Republicans figured out that, you know, if you appeal to people's bigotries and hatreds, you win. There's a quote from, who was the South Carolinian? He ran HW's campaign. His own brain rejected him by rotting out of his skull. Lee Atwater,
yeah.
You know, he confessed toward the end of his life, but he never apologized. He's the guy who brought us Willie Horton.
He never took the cellophane off the Bible that somebody brought him to comfort him.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But the thing is, there's a quote from him, and I'll have to find it, where he talks about the evolution of biased language and how, you know, in the mid-20th century, throwing around that word as a political tool worked, and then as the country evolved, you couldn't say that word anymore, so you used replacement coded language. And then whenever the liberals figured out what the code meant, you moved on to another code.
Yeah.
And if you look at it that way, you can literally plot a you can plot a graph of what right wing talking points are and exactly who and what they're talking about, and it's been the same message all along. You know, Strom, it may be apocryphal, but you know, Strom Thurmond, who was busy banging the help, left the Democratic Party in 1948. Over the possible integration of swimming pools?
Yeah.
and it worked. And by 1952, even though he wasn't overt in it, America voted overwhelmingly for Dwight Eisenhower over a man who was infinitely more intelligent than him. Stevenson.
They called him an egghead.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that, like, Mr. Smart, smarty pants, smart guy. We don't need... And so, you remember George W. Bush, and I want to have a beer with George W. Bush, and we don't need no ivory tower elites. Yeah, that damn John Kerry's too smart. And look at that Al Gore. That Al Gore, he may be a Southern feller, but he's forgotten his upbringing. He thinks he's smarter than all of us with his climate talk.
Yeah, look around, see?
I mean, do you remember?
Yeah.
I remember the Pineapple Prince, you know, Rush Limbaugh, blithering day after day after day about the elitism of Al Gore, and he would play those stupid songs that somebody produced for him, and one of them was In a Yugo, done to the tune of Elvis's In the Ghetto.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not hard to decode this stuff, Scott.
No, it's not. Well, I just noticed we're into the next hour, and you need to go.
I do, because the boy is pan blackening some Brussels sprouts, and I can smell them from here.
Well, very quickly before I hang up, let me remind the people of something important. Tonight, after 7 years and six seasons and 63 episodes, Better Call Saul has its finale. And if you're DVRing it, set your device properly, because the thing runs, including commercials, according to my on-screen guide, an hour and 38 minutes. You don't want to lose a frame of this show, because I predict it's going to be a nail-biting, nerve-totting episode, and I such a well-done show, and I'm sorry to see it go, but I understand that even the best rides have to end sooner or later. So, an hour 38 on your old DVR.
Oh, and if it ends, I mean, they don't end things poorly with that franchise.
They stick the landing beautifully, incredibly.
I mean, they certainly did. See, I didn't finish it, but I kind of have an inkling of the. So don't tell me. But, you know, they certainly ended the parent series.
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Very well.
Yeah, but I wanted to put a plug in for that show, because I'm really sorry to see it go. But, man, I'm telling you, beautifully crafted, thoughtful, intelligently done. I mean, you don't get a lot of TV that hit all of those benchmarks. So, a tip to the old rabbit ears to everybody involved with that effort. But anyway, well, I hope I've added something.
Oh, you have.
I always worry.
Yeah, no need to worry. No, you do. You are beloved. I mean, I get email about you.
Oh dear. Well, I hope it's all good and the bad stuff.
It is. I mean, I'm not kidding. It is.
All right, well,
many people have talked about the classic radio rapport that you and I have.
Well, I mean, I hope that broadcasting on the radio will kind of rediscover some of the old things that made it what it was when it was that. Because it still has all the potential in the world, and it's not a new medium. I mean, commercial radio is over 100 years old. And we've let it devolve into something.
Beginning where I am headed at the end of this week.
Yeah, KDKA.
With KDKA in Pittsburgh.
The people up in WBZ land in Boston would argue with you, because there's an ongoing feud over which was...
Oh, I know. It's like the fight between the University of North Carolina and the University of Georgia. Over which one was the first state-sponsored school.
But the radio, even as old as it is, it always redefines itself and repositions itself, and it needs to do that again, because it has been used for the last 30 some odd years, and many of those years have been odd, to divide us. And it was never meant to do that. Yeah, you have your entertainment, but you have your commitment to information and dialogue. And to the extent that we let that go by the boards and appeal to our more base natures, hatefulness and suspicion and envy and you know the litany, the list of horribles. To the extent that we abandon the roots and the nobler purposes, we do that at a high cost to ourselves. So, God, I got windy there at the end, didn't I?
No, you're okay.
But I just it troubles me as an old practitioner of the broadcast arts to see what it has turned into. And it needn't be that way. And as people get into it and really do it thoughtfully and intelligently and along the lines of its design, it's the most intimate medium. It's the most impactful medium, but it can only meet those goals to the extent to which we apply ourselves into causing that to happen. And there endeth the lesson. So I'll let you go.
Well, I mean, we got to. Just one little piece of information before we're out the door. And I guess I guess if you and I, you or I or any other member of the Horn Family Community Congregation were in similar circumstances, there's a report out that Merrick Garland, and it's from the Wall Street Journal, but...
Get your Himalayan salt grains lined up.
The Journal quoted former Deputy Attorney General Jamie Gorelick, who was Garland's boss in the 90s, and said, he's both extremely careful and he understands the critical role of an attorney general in these circumstances. He appreciates the context in which this is occurring. I don't think he considers politics at all, but I do think he recognizes the seriousness of actions against a former president. I don't know how you couldn't. There's some ancient Rome nerdery to be engaged in here. But the bottom line is that, citing sources, the Wall Street Journal said the decision had been the subject of weeks of meetings between senior Justice Department and FBI officials. And again, I understand that, but I think more to the point, it's kind of amazing it didn't leak.
Well, not only didn't leak, but when you think about that, when you have someone in that position who is checking all the boxes and agonizing and looking at it in the context of history and tradition, and they didn't sit around the table saying, well, now what clever ways are we going to employ to get Trump? It wasn't a matter of getting Trump. It was a matter of upholding the law and doing that in a way that would be clear to people who had some clarity to begin with. And the other side is trying to paint it everything but what it was. And we need to not lose sight of that. I wouldn't give them a minute's airtime who are buying into the conspiracy nonsense that something wrong was done by our
Justice Department. Yeah, or nefarious, sure. And frankly, there's one other consideration, and it is not improper. The Justice Department has a long history of not bringing close call cases. Every once in a while, but generally speaking, if they bring a case, there's not much wiggle room in it.
Yeah, they don't. They approach it not as a new breaking news story. They have a further vision. In other words, they're looking at the conclusion that it eventually results in an indictment and a trial and a conviction. So it's no minor thing that has occurred.
Right. And bear in mind, Scott, there is in the federal rules the ethics rules for lawyers. in just about every jurisdiction, federal included, there is an entirely separate section of the rules of professional conduct that only applies to prosecutors. And you're not supposed to just bring cases because you think you can. The administration of justice is supposed to be at the absolute tip-top of the consideration, kind of like in family law. You'll find references to the fact that a family law court judge in a case where there are children involved is supposed to always, always, always act in the best interest of the child. So that, that you know, and that can change outcomes. But in terms of that applies
in this case, because what he's done is, I would like to think, acted in the best interest
of the country. And that is what a prosecutor is supposed to do. Act within the best interest of the jurisdiction in which they prosecute. And in the case of Merrick Garland, it's the whole freaking country. And if you think about it in those terms, and I'm not trying to get all misty-eyed or anything, but if you think about it in those terms, that is a heavy burden to bear. Attorney general is not a job that you should want. Attorney general is a job that you should accept because you feel some degree of duty to your country.
Yeah, here, here.
It ain't always the case.
Well, I know that.
John Mitchell comes to mind.
Yeah, and remember, wasn't Teapot Dome part of... Well, listen, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, well said and well put. And I would just say in closing, Your Honor, that's not the woman. No. the naysayers and the fucking peanut gallery who are hooting and throwing things and laying out a lot of conspiracy nonsense, I wouldn't give them a moment's airtime. Unless you have something intelligent and reality-based to bring to the conversation, stay silent.
Yeah, but here's our problem. How do you deal with that? Oh, see, I'm doing it again. How do you do that in a country whose idea of free speech includes malevolent actors have the same rights as people who act in good faith? You know, how do you say don't give anybody any of these loons any time when Steve Bannon exists and Fox News exists and Newsmuck exists?
Well, I'm not talking about them necessarily, because there's nothing that can be done from that branch of media. There's nothing that can be done. They've got to exist, and I think they have a right to exist. I don't think they're doing us any good, but... You know, I'm talking about the actual.
Well, but
reality.
See, I'm going to push back there. I'm going to push back, Scott, because when you say, well, I think they have a right to exist. Okay, let's get Shakespearean. Did Claudius have the right to pour poison into the ear of Hamlet Senior?
Well, now see, I'm not going to be able to argue that because I don't. My Shakespearean knowledge is.
Well, I mean, it's not a spoiler. I mean, Hamlet Jr. eventually finds out that his father, whom they thought had simply died of natural causes, actually died when Hamlet Sr.'s brother, Claudius, poured poison in the ear of Hamlet Sr. as he lay napping in the garden there in Elsinore. And that's what Fox News and these other outfits do, is they pour poison into the ears of the American public, who are a certain segment of the American public, who are so goddamn credulous that they'll believe anything that comes into their eyeballs and their ear holes out of the electric TV box. And the water is so thoroughly muddied that the people watching that and believing that think the very same thing about you, Scott, and me, and everybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation who watches anything but Fox.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm kind of a purist when it comes to speech. I really am, and I do that at my own peril, because there, God knows, if that's how we're dividing the teams, they're out to get me, whether or not directly, maybe not directly, but certainly people like me who think the way I think pose a threat to them. Well, I'm here to say I don't pose a threat to you. If I can give a better argument and get people to look and to listen with some degree of intelligence and thoughtfulness, I'm probably going to convince them that my way is the better way. I don't even call it the right way. I'm just saying it's the better way. Now,
but this is where you're right. It is complicated, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not out to get Emory and Marbling. I don't want their Barca loungers. I want them to have a dignified retirement. I want them to have good health care. I want them to have enough food to eat, you know, because I'm a democratic communist, as Marginal Trailer Queen would say.
And you do that because you're trying to assist them not to get into their own way. But what if they choose?
But on the other hand, they are, and this isn't paranoia, they are out to get me and people like me. They're out to get the LGBTQ plus community. They're after women for controlling their reproduction. I mean, there is a clear distinction, which comes back to your original question. How in the fluorescent fuck can anybody look at this and November not be a landslide? But you have to do that kind of Attenborough documentary thing where you go to a place like Alabama and you just listen to people talk. And you go, holy shit. I mean, the Deep South has not been more seditious. Or the last time the Deep South was this seditious, they decided to start taking pot shots at federal installations. And look what happened in Ohio last week. A guy went in and started taking pot shots at a federal installation.
Oh, believe me, I'm not trying to diminish the severity of not severity, but the existential nature of the place we find ourselves. I'm not saying that that is not the way that things currently are. I'm just saying that both sides need to be heard, and the side that gives the argument that is more persuasive to more people is ultimately going to prevail. Now, there may not be any evidence of that in certain places where you look, but I would jump off of a roof from a high building tomorrow if I thought there wasn't a way out of this thing, because I'm wired that way. And I think one of the ways out of this thing is to let them be, because they're going to be anyway. You can't lock them up. You can't shut them up. The only thing you can do is convince enough people with a better argument that's reality-based and engage people to get out and vote accordingly. And if we can't manage that come November, we are indeed screwed, Robin.
We're all screwed, Scott.
Yeah. And now you've depressed me. Here I was in a nice basal state, upbeat and positive, and you have whomped me down like whack-a-mole. You beat me down back into my hole. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Scott, I live to serve. You have a lovely evening, okay?
Well, now, how can I after all this? No, I get what you're saying.
I don't know. Go down to Wegner's and get yourself some crudités.
I couldn't spell it, much less get it. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Tomorrow is a better day. So take care, Robin. Take care, Horn family. Don't forget Better Call Saul, AMC, 9 p.m. Watch it. Damn it.
There's going to be a quiz on Friday.
Yeah, we're going to do a quiz on Friday.
All right. Anyway. See you, Scott.
Okay, good night. God bless you and God night.
All right. Bye. Scott always brings something. Sometimes just wow. And the fact that we can get into the serious stuff and somewhere along the way have me in a pathetic little laughing fit, well... I hope it does the same for you that it does for me. So there we are. My goodness gracious, we have about $50 worth of challenges to bring in. Nothing happened. It's really rough, especially on a Monday. Hell, it's really rough anytime, but it would bring us down by $150 if we could raise 50. You know, $33.33 plus 15 is $48.33. And that would result in $150. Badly needed. Because, well, I don't want to go into details, but God, it's getting sweaty and worrisome. So thank you to all of our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. That means you this evening, Jeremy. Thank you. To each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you so much. And thank you for popping by, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop. Thank you. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Head On .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your second booster. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Keep all the social distance you can muster. 15 to 20 feet, according to Paul from Parts Unknown. And God knows if some bleached blonde woman comes burbling towards you down the street saying, white men watch porn because they're so oppressed. Avoid that maggot like the plague. Because she is. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Later.